As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And it's another week of the Two Oceans Vibe Show coming to you live from the Atlantic seaboard. It's 3:35. Thanks for joining us back in the studio another week. And it just seems to be outlandish weather every Thursday. My shirt's off. Nick's is about to come off. We've got Nick Murray, the DJ, on the show. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you, Seth. It is Seth, right? I heard the Fruit Loop last week was calling you Will all the time.
Yeah, well, that's a nickname that my friends give me. It's actually my third name. It's,
you don't want another name for today. I could call you anything if you want. Just tell me. What do you want to go with?
Nick, just call me.
Harry.
Just as long as you call me.
Roger.
Nick Murray is obviously the morning show host of KFM radio station, Cape Town's number one and biggest breakfast show and station. Is it the breakfast show that's the biggest or the whole station?
It's both of them. They're both ginormous.
Nice.
They're both by far the biggest.
So you obviously used to like a pretty professional studio. Would you say that yours?
I am shockingly disappointed, Seth. I was expecting something very amateurish here, and the picture has to be painted. This man has three computers and a mixing desk.
Well, I was about to ask you, do you think it looks a lot like yours?
It has as many computers as ours does, certainly.
Nice. Do you have a mixer like this?
We have one that's much bigger, but I don't know what the other 18 channels do.
It's pretty much the same vibe.
Yeah, it's the microphones and the music. And then a whole bunch of spares.
Nick was running a little bit late. It's been a little bit rushed.
I always thought there was going to be a helicopter. Your secretary said to me there'd be a helicopter to fetch me.
Yeah, but the story with the helicopter is we were using the Huey, and as you know, it's not too reliable, and we had to make sure that you were on the show.
The Huey's been grounded as well?
I haven't seen it for a while. Has
it
been
flying the Huey anymore? No.
Oh, really? Finally?
I don't know what the story is.
Fucking Huey. It's a great thing for the people who live on the Atlantic seaboard to moan about. That fucking Huey.
You guys have helicopters here all the time, which is why I just assumed that's how I'd be getting here. So when you phoned me at 3:20 and you said, where are you?
Yeah. Well, Nick was running very late, and at the very end, we only had 2 minutes to spare. We started to talk about timing. Nick, you being a radio DJ, you must be told about timing the whole time. We've got 2 minutes left. We've got a minute left.
How much? 90 seconds to go.
What do you know you can do within 90 seconds?
Mine's the other way around. I know how much I can say in 90 seconds. So it's not so much you've got 90 seconds, good, I can get outside and have a smoke. Not that I do.
But what about if you need to go to the loo and stuff? How much time do you know that you need?
I know the 3-minute song is plenty. And I don't generally need to go to the loo twice in a row.
Nick doesn't we. Nick, welcome to the show. This is one of Nick's choices on his song list. It's Roxette, The Look. We'll catch you soon. It's 3:37. It's 30 degrees again.
She's got the look. big rock. She's got the look. And she goes,
and we're back live with Nick Murray. Welcome back to the studio, Nick.
Thanks. I'm like I've gone somewhere. Here I am.
Good heavens.
I want to leave a message for you right now.
That's for later.
the setup is professional, at least. It looks good.
Sometimes there are some hiccups. How do you, like, let me just inform everyone that before the show, the guest sends me a list of songs. Nick has sent me his list. And then I have to write down the timings of the start of the song, how long it takes until the singing starts. I have to do all of that. Nick, how do you know these things? Do you get them written down before the show? Or do you have a little voice in your ear?
We were told this by a DJ. Is that where this comes from? This is right down the...
This was Johnny Vaughan.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the industry, it's called the intro clock.
The intro clock. That's the exact term he used, and I need to remember it now that I'm in the industry.
The intro. Well, yes, of course you are.
So how does it work? Are you told over the headphones? Is there a voice that talks to you?
It's not regularly. I find it very difficult to talk and be spoken to at the same time. My head just explodes.
Okay.
So every now and again, they forget and they try, and it's just too much for me to handle.
Because you're not a chick. How do you know how long it'll take for the song to get going? Is it on the screen in front of you?
Yeah, it's on the screen. Yeah, we've got a computer screen that tells us, and it also counts down to the end of the song, which sounds a little silly, but it does.
Well, I've got that. It's called iTunes. Nick has a list of songs here. I managed to get all of his songs except Amy Winehouse's song, Amy, Amy,
oh,
Amy.
Oh, you bugger. Well, that's Seth. Sorry. Look, I've now adopted this. Harry. Harry is what we're going for today, right?
Harry?
You.
Iconic Junior.
You're Harry.
Call me Harry. That's much easier.
I needed a new name. Amy, Amy, Amy.
You upset that I never had that song?
I am a little upset. You know the thing with Amy Winehouse, right? She's now become this useless, trampy crack whore, right? I mean, that's what she is.
Just about to die, yeah.
That's where she is at the moment. Yeah. And the sad thing to me is that she had this amazing album like 4 years ago, which no one knows about.
And she's called?
Frank.
Okay.
And awesome, smoky, jazzy tunes.
Nice.
And very, very cool. And
I love her voice, actually. It's very needed right now, and it's very sad that it might end now, because it was
really
exactly
like
what we needed.
3 o'clock in the morning, jazz club, smoky vibe. And in fact, in one of those songs on Frank, there's a whole bit with a voice of saying, go home now, go, the night is over, we're finished, get out of here.
Yeah, don't you think that we need that here? Cape Town needs like a whiskey bar where there's a chick in like a long red dress just singing beautiful songs with like a piano guy. Like
they tried at that place on Long Street, hey? Never catch on.
Kennedy's.
Yeah, Kennedy's.
Did that? Well, they had a guy on the piano upstairs and some very overweight chick, which does suit it actually. But they were more like funny, laughable songs almost. Not this. Not that whole like sexy.
Yeah, you need it. You're right.
I'm seeing the scene with Bill Murray in Lost in Translation.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. With big,
so now
with
do
big
yourself
red lips.
A favor and get this album, Frank.
Amy
Frank, and I know it's expensive, and it's like $8.99 on U-Tunes or whatever you,
U-Tunes, my tunes, anyone else?
You're shopping on, but she's been such a disappointment over the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what your views are on this, but the first album is seriously impressive.
Yeah, look, it's very sad because the Palms have been needing someone like her, and unfortunately, the one that came along absolutely fucked it up. But let's just talk a little bit more about you and KFM. How long have you been the morning DJ there for, Nick?
6 years. Will, Seth, Harry.
Harry. 6 years.
6 years. This week, actually.
Now, me and you have been friends for a while now, nearly as long. And although we went to school together, we never really hung out, as it were, or hanged out.
You were a lot older than me, I think.
Yeah. I was,
good few years ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And we never really used to hang out or hanged out if I had killed you. Everyone hung. When you kill someone, is hanged. He hanged himself. A lot of people getting that wrong still. I thought the world would know that one by now.
Today's grammar lesson brought to you by Seth.
No, speaking of which, I've actually got a question from someone for you with regards to the English language. Nick,
as the official keeper of the English language, I'd be only too pleased to answer it.
Nick, how old were you when you started off?
On breakfast, 21.
And is it true that they used to hide your age?
I used to hide my age.
Oh, really?
Because it's so funny. Hardiman's having this. You keep talking about him. He's having this whole thing at the moment where he keeps telling people, I'm not as old as you think I am.
Richard Hardiman is actually the Drive Show host. He used to be Hardiman the Party Man. He's a little bit older now.
He's a lot older
he's
now.
He's so old right now.
And people keep saying to him, you're not as old as I imagined you were. And it's giving him a little midlife crisis.
And you get told that you aren't as young as I thought you were.
Well, certainly at the beginning, my issue was trying to not sound 21 on the radio. Yeah.
So you were talking about things like politics and heavy stuff.
Exactly. You know? Now that I'm older, I talk about younger things. Yeah. It's all a bit twisted.
That's so twisted. KFM used to be called Radio Contre, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It used to be a transmitter split from another radio station in town called Good Hope. I don't think exists anymore, but back then the pair of them used to share transmitters, and now it's obviously a lot cooler and a lot bigger.
And when they ask you what the K stands for, do you say Contre? Because now it's just a letter.
Yeah, that's the official line.
It stands for nothing.
Well, I mean, that's where it comes from. That's the history. But the radio station's obviously changed so much since then that, as far as we're concerned, it doesn't
matter. Were you there in the days when it used to be called that?
No.
The one nice thing that I like about KFM, which is my radio station of choice, mainly in the morning, but the nice thing about it is you can drive to Hermanus, you can drive to wherever, and it's always
there. Camps Bay.
Not Camps Bay. It's fucking annoying. I can't listen to you. I listen to you, as you know, because I sent you a text during your show yesterday. I had to listen on my laptop. It's fucking annoying.
Not Camps Bay and not Stellenbosch and not Hout Bay, but I don't know if they've got the radio there yet.
They've got the Boland covered.
The reason for that, people ask about this all the time. It's kind of interesting. There are a bunch of transmitters in Cape Town, and we're only allowed to use one of them. And
why is that?
Good question, Seth. Good question. It's all part of our licensing conditions. And the official line, if you're interested, that's product placement, Cape Town. The official line.
Similar beer right
I didn't really
there.
Say Cape Town because you're broadcasting to the entire universe, right?
Well, exactly. We had a call in the other day from Turkey, Belgium, Scotland.
So I'll just say Earth.
Yeah.
The reason is because they're worried about the community stations folding, but the SABC stations managed to broadcast government's official line from all of the transmitters. I don't get it either.
Do they have to pay for it?
I guess we do pay, but it's probably not. I don't think it's much.
But the government surely don't have to pay.
Well, who pays for the SABC? You do, right? You pay your TV licenses.
Well, yes, Nick, of course I pay my TV licenses. What are you talking about? Why would I not?
That's a very big TV you have.
What a big TV you have there. Do you pay more for the size of your
it's
screen?
Not the size that counts.
Yeah, imagine if you have a screen the size of a building that you can broadcast on the side of a building, and would you have to pay a higher license fee for your TV license?
If hypothetically you were paying it.
Yeah.
We're both in so much trouble now.
Oh, we are in so much shit. Nick's not allowed to swear as much as I am, I don't think. How do you feel in terms of like what you aren't really allowed to say on air normally and now? Do you feel bound by the same rules? Do you feel scared of saying fuck?
Yeah, I won't say fuck on the radio.
No. Well, but maybe on the internet.
Only on the internet. Only when I'm broadcasting to Earth.
Mother Earth,
That's kind of a courtesy thing, I guess. Seth, we just developed a space. I don't want to sound twee now, but we developed a space where people are listening. The
sound
kids
what?
Twee.
Nice, Nick. Fucking twee. Yeah?
But people are listening in the car, and they've got the kids, and they're on their way, you know, to school to drop the kids off. And so we try to be reasonably responsible.
Well, that sort of makes us think about those signboards for those local tabloids who use words in the signboards like blowjob and puss and stuff like that. Not ideal for the kids in the car.
Not really ideal for the kids. It's not the education that their parents were expecting.
Why do they do that? And just lastly, in terms of you being the breakfast show host on
mean lastly? Are we finished already?
Lastly, before this next song, I was chatting to your colleague, Richard Hardiman.
Uncle Rich,
old yeller. Any jokes? Rich, has he got any grey hairs yet?
No, you know, I actually only say that because he's hot, obviously.
Yeah.
He's like
he's very good looking.
Cosmo model.
He's got a calendar going.
He's got a calendar.
And
I said to them, if you hire another hot person, that's it. I'm fucking out of here because I can't take it anymore.
Richard taking over the glory, which lends itself to the next thing, which is, he tells me, which I've heard before, anywhere you go in the world, if you go to radio stations, the breakfast show guy is basically the king of the castle. And Hardiman talks about, you know, Nick is obviously the king there because he's a breakfast show host. Do you find KFM like a kingdom for you? Do you feel like the king there?
Do you think this is true? How do you answer this question without seeming like an asshole? Seriously.
Well, you could be modest and humble.
Well,
I don't know what he's talking about. No, we all get along so well.
We do all get along well, but the gist is that the breakfast show is supposed to be the one that sets the tone for the station. So, you know,
so you are fairly important.
Not me, but there's a team of people.
But do you get paid more than Richard Hardiman? Obviously.
I imagine it's about the listeners.
He
gets more chicks, though, so it all evens out in the end.
Careful, isn't he married now?
He is expecting as well.
He is sort of married.
Yeah.
Richard Hardiman.
I don't know what his agreement is. I'm sure he's very well behaved and madly in love with his wife. But he's still, you know, if he were hypothetically in the game. Get more chicks. That's all I meant. It was hypothetical.
Well, he's a good-looking boy. I'm just going to play this song. It's not really right for now, but I've been playing this all day long. I've been doing the window half down in the range, driving along at the Camp Space trip this morning, which is fun. But then I also go... I've just had a text from Richard Hardiman saying, fuck off the both of you. love... Opie Hardiman. Nice, Rich. Shouldn't he be working right now?
He probably should, but you know what radio DJs are like?
Yeah, very relaxed. And I've been playing this song, especially when I'm driving past building sites in Camps Bay. And I tell you, the builders go absolutely ballistic. This is
That's
Mariah
an endorsement. The builders love it.
I know. If the builders love it, I love it. It must be R&B. It's Mariah Carey with We Belong Together. It is awesome. See you now.
I didn't mean it when I said I didn't love you so. I should have held on tight, I never should have let you go. I didn't know nothing, I was stupid, I was foolish, I was lying to myself. I could not fathom that would ever be without your love. Never imagined I'd be sitting here beside myself. Cause I didn't know you, cause I didn't know me, but I thought I knew everything. I never touching, kiss your lips, cause I don't have a choice. Oh, what I wouldn't get to have you lying by my side. On the radio, saying to me,
if you think you're lonely now,
wait a minute, this is too deep, too deep. I gotta change the station, so I turn the dial, trying to catch a break, and then I hear baby's face. I only think of you, and it's breaking my heart. I'm trying to keep it together, but I'm falling apart. I'm feeling all out of my element, throwing things, crying, trying to figure out where the hell I went.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
What do you think of that touch yourself thing, mate?
What's with the lack of air conditioning?
I know.
Are you doing your bid for Eskom, or are you trying to get your guests to take their clothes off?
I said, don't be scared to take your top off. I'm not trying to seduce you.
But it's just us, and there are no calls or SMSs. And,
none whatsoever. I just need you. There's a friend of ours at the door here.
At the door?
Hold on a second.
I'll just keep talking, shall I? Because radio presenters do that. I don't even have the details, Seth. I can't even explain to people how they should SMS or phone us. But I'm sure they're all on twooceansvibe.com. Bob Skinstad, how are you, sir? Good, excellent. Good to see you.
And,
what are the details?
And I'm back. Surprise guest, Bob Skinstad has just walked in. Good friend
Seems
of mine.
Seems to be very comfortable. He's just wandered down the passage.
Very relaxed. And I don't know how he got off the street into the building. He just arrived at the door.
Doesn't have keys, does he?
It's a little bit. He doesn't have keys. I had to help with that one thing. But how he got through the two gates, I don't know. Something to worry about, especially with the cash in the safe and the handwritten lyrics of Lennon's Woman. Jane B. Met, did you go?
I didn't. I was in two minds. I got a colleague of mine.
Nick Murray in two minds.
Organized the tickets, and I got an email from Seth saying we're too big for the Met. And obviously, he's a bit older than me, so I had to think about it, but after careful consideration.
Ever so slightly older.
Ever so slightly, a little, just a touch.
Let's not go overboard. did you hear about it? Did your friends go?
I saw some of the pictures. You know, this is the thing.
Michael Moll, again.
I didn't see any pictures of Michael Moll, not a single one, but I'm not going to say anything nasty. I think Michael's a nice guy.
No, he's a great guy. And in fact, Bob will vouch for Michael because they work together on Top Billing.
I saw some of the pictures. Like I saw, and we spoke about this in the show. I saw pictures of Jeannie D, who
was
obviously
revealing.
I think we need to do some fundraising for her because she could only afford half of the dress.
And what a rack she has!
You know what I don't understand, right? These guys are all wearing these crazy things. We all know they're crazy. Mm. Like you can look at them and you go, "What the fuck are you wearing?"
I know. Why do they lose it on J&B Day?
I think it's like that whole Emperor's New Clothes thing. I think they go to their designer, right? Which is like Gavin Roger. He does everything. Yeah. I think he did everything except three dresses this year. That was
well. There's also my friend that owns like an African themed clothing company called Sun Goddess.
Sun Goddess.
Yeah,
okay, so it's
well.
Gavin and Sun.
Yeah.
They're doing kind of everything.
Yeah.
And I imagine people rock up on like Thursday having...
Just hold on a second. Bob, just can you grab the six-pack in the fridge, please?
Chef is ordering Bob Skinstad around. Such is the way of the world. They arrive at their designer on Thursday, having said like 3 weeks ago, put something together for me.
Yeah.
And you get there on Thursday, and the designer goes, here's what I think you should wear. And they must, in the head, they must be going, you've got to be
they
fucking
are so
kidding.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I've been dying to talk about this. I'm glad you brought it up. They are so fucking shocking. Our local designers have got a lot of flair and a lot of like thoughts in terms of things to do and stuff. But exactly like you say, overseas, for the Oscars, for example, the client will go in about 8 times, 10 times before the show, have it perfect. And a lot of those were wrong. They did not fit,
They're hideous.
And shocking.
And these people must know they're hideous, but they think, you know what, this is obviously trendy.
It's done by a designer.
Exactly.
A local designer. It doesn't mean it's amazing.
Obviously trendy. And I just think everybody should be following you and wearing jeans and t-shirts and those expensive Jesus sandals.
Well, let's actually talk to Bob, who's just walked in after finding a beer and not a six-pack. We're talking about J&B Met, that all three of us here, Nick Murray, Bob Skinstad, and Seth Rotherham, did not attend. And we were talking about when you see the photos, it is absolutely shocking. Have you, in the past, had to go to events where you had a designer make something for you?
Yes.
Who did you use, Fabiani?
No, I think I got something done by a guy called Gavin Roger.
I told you, he does everything.
Is that the same guy?
That's the guy.
Really, really.
And Bob, when you picked it up, was there not a little bit in your brain that went, "You've got to be kidding? Can't I just wear one of the suits that I have at home?"
A year later, I went in shorts and a t-shirt.
Exactly. But no one does it at the time because everybody is so frightened. I'm being corrected technically. Thanks, Seth. Apparently, I'm making too much noise in the microphone. Ours hang from the ceiling. They don't lift up from the table. You've got to imagine that that's the dumbest thing to wear. You want to be in the shorts and the t-shirt.
100%. I think the Met should be, there should be a rule that the guys don't have to dress up, but the girls do.
One of the beauties of the Met is the girls.
Bob, what outfit did you have to wear? Just a normal suit, but spicy or what?
No, it was a beige linen suit.
When the beige linen suit phase. Do you remember that phase?
You look like a Westlife boy.
Wasn't my bit.
I just don't get it. I just don't understand how these people don't get home and go, you know what, thanks for trying, Gav, but I'm just going to throw on shorts and a t-shirt because it's always like 400 degrees on Met Day.
It's so hot. And
do you remember that year when all the cars spontaneously combusted like 4 or 5 years ago?
I remember that. Jason Stanley, a friend of mine, his car exploded. And he got his new car now. He went overseas now. And he came back and the first thing he bought was a brand new BMW a week before the Met, and he said, let's hope this baby blows up at the Met. It'll be beautiful. His car fucked out, and he left his clubs, his golf clubs, in the boot, and the only things left were the heads. just a pile of heads. Very funny.
Can you give out the phone number? You said, remind me to give out the phone number.
Yeah, guys, I keep on forgetting. You see, Nick Murray is very versed in this, but I keep forgetting to give you the cell phone number to send in messages. We've got Nick Murray and
surprise
guests.
Just use Bob's phone number since he's here.
Yeah, let's just give Bob's number. This is the number. Send in text messages. We've got Nick Murray from KFM, who is the DJ, and Bob Skinstad, who is the character formerly known as the loose forward, surprise guest on the show. Send your text messages, questions, whatever, to +27. That makes us very international. 769073679. Or you can say it like this: +27 769073679. And Skype calls, we'll be taking Skype calls. You can start to fire them away if you want. Yeah, whatever. The Skype name is The Two Oceans Vibe Show. So search for that, and I'm sure we'll be catching you after this song. It's 4:02 in the afternoon, people. It's 30 degrees, and this song will start at the 22nd mark, which is quite shortly. Thanks for joining us.
Next thing is to work out what to say.
Keep
during
on talking.
The intro clock.
What's the time? It's 4:03 now. I'll catch you after this. Cheers. Back in the studio, moving along very nicely. 4:07. I'm Seth Rotherham. This is the 2 Hours Vibe Show. My guest today is Nick Maria from KFM, the morning show host. If you've just joined us, we've also got a surprise guest, Bob Skinstadt. Welcome to the studio, both of you. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hey. During the break, Nick showed me something that is nothing short of hysterical.
I can't take credit for this. Somebody showed me this at work this morning. So
funny. If you go to Google, and if you're listening to the show, you should be near to your computer. Load up Google. It's a search engine. google.com, obviously www first, and search for Find Chuck Norris. And the first
Not
thing,
Chuck Norris.
Find Chuck Norris, and the first, oh my God, it actually shows it. If you click, it shows the screen, and it says the first option says, Google will not search for Chuck Norris because it knows you don't find Chuck Norris, he finds you.
Yeah, they should look for you have to see it, though. It's one of those things that you need to see. I told Seth, and he still needed to see it.
How do you mean?
Well, Bob's giving you a hard time because you've spoiled the surprise for everybody.
I was just meant to tell them.
It's mostly visual anyway. You need to see it.
Okay, go to Google. I won't tell you what happens if you've just joined us and you missed that. Search for Find Chuck Norris in Giggle.
And then click on the I'm Feeling Lucky button, which has always astonished me.
I love that.
Most of the time, I'm not.
What the fuck is that about?
I'm Feeling Lucky. It's very bold.
How does it work?
I mean, I don't even know where to find this thing. That's why I've come to you in the first place.
Why would I want to feel lucky? That's what I'm doing before
lucky,
I found you.
I would just have typed in a random address in the URL bar and hoped that it would have got me to the place I needed to be.
Exactly. Speaking of funny, famous folk, there is one thing that I'd like to play on the show right now, which is Alec Baldwin's voice message to his daughter, which a lot of people missed, because I do raise this, and people don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. For all of you that don't know, this is the famous message that Alec Baldwin left for his 12-year-old daughter. Enjoy it.
Hey, I want to tell you something, okay? And I want to leave a message for you right now, because again, it's 10:30 here in New York on a Wednesday, and once again, I've made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time. When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go and I make that phone call at 11 o'clock in the morning in New York, and if you don't pick up the phone, at 10 o'clock at night, and you don't even have that goddamn phone turned on. I want you to know something, okay? I'm tired of playing this game with you. I'm leaving this message with you to tell you, you have insulted me for the last time. You have insulted me. You don't have the brains or the decency as a human being. I don't give a damn that you're 12 years old or 11 years old or that you're a child or that your mother is a thoughtless pain in the ass who doesn't care about what you do as far as I'm concerned. You have humiliated me for the last time with this phone. And when I come out there next week, I'm going to fly out there for the day just to straighten you out on this issue. I'm going to let you know just how disappointed in you I am and how angry I am with you that you've done this to me again. You've made me feel like shit, and you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again. And this crap you pull on me with this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother, and you do it to me constantly and over again. I am going to get on a plane, and I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. Then I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me, so I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
To replay this message.
That's my favorite part, is to replay this message. Alec Baldwin talking to his daughter, doesn't even know her age. Not ideal. Bob, you've got two new kids.
Just wait, this is what you've got in store for you right now. They look like little angels.
12 years time, you'll be dying. But I don't think it helps that his wife, Kim Basinger, I think she's a bit of a handful. Although he is a
psychotic.
Yeah, but his show is awesome. Have you watched the show? 30 Rock.
I haven't seen 30 Rock.
Jeez, it's so
I
good,
rewatched yeah. Malice. Have you seen Malice?
No.
You obviously have.
No.
You haven't. You have
no.
to.
I've heard about it.
From like the late 80s, early 90s. And there's this amazing scene where he's being interrogated by the lawyers and they ask if he has a God complex. And he gives this 2-minute speech and ends saying, "You ask if I have a God complex, I am God."
Too beautiful.
And it's obviously all gone to his head.
Yeah.
I am
yeah,
God.
Like it's like his line.
Bob's apparently memorized the whole bit.
It's weird that Bob memorized that whole thing.
It's a 20-year-old movie, Bob.
Yeah, did you
maybe memorize the voicemail for one day when your kids are all growing up?
Yeah, what made you memorize that? Funnily enough, I actually memorized Alec Baldwin's message to his daughter, and it's on my website.
I noticed you mouthing along now when it was playing, but I thought it would be bad form to bring it up.
I know it off by heart because I made a video because I felt people don't know how that looks. All they're doing is hearing this message, and I did a whole scene of like him pissed in his hotel room, which he must have been. He's aggro at the end of the day, and he's just letting out on his daughter.
Don't you think he's acting though? Don't you think like he's probably doing it in front of the mirror and afterwards he's going, "I fucked up that bit in the middle," but
well,
otherwise.
There's a scene in the thing that I had shot of me saying the words, and the one scene is me looking at the mirror mouthing, which I thought he must have done exactly what you said. It's hilarious. Monopoly World Edition.
Yes.
KFM are doing a lot on that at the moment.
I believe a lot of people are doing a lot on this, Seth.
Yeah, let me just explain. It's a bit of a bone of contention. The other day, I did an article telling people to go to the Monopoly World Edition website and vote for Cape Town to be a part of the new Monopoly World Edition board, which includes how many cities? 22.
There will be, yes, you can vote for 22 wild cards out of about 65 that you can choose from.
Yeah, so
I can tell you've done your research on this.
So, yeah, well,
after hearing it on the radio, you rushed into the office and typed
Let me just explain it to you. I never knew that you actually mentioned it. Somebody emailed me about a month ago and I left
sure.
it. I swear to God, somebody else gave me another email. "Have you seen this thing? Have you seen this thing?" And I left it. And then I saw it on another website and I thought, well, the best thing to do is write about it so that you can claim it, so that when everyone knows about it, you can say, "Well, I wrote about it." And I wrote the article, and then I had a cheeky email or text from Nick Marais saying, "Are you claiming this whole thing? Because we actually mentioned it first, and it's climbed from
number..." It sounds so petty when you say it like that.
Well, that's the aim. and Nick said, "Well, we made it go to number 14. And I was about to write back to him, and somebody had sent me an email saying, "Gee, Seth, you've done very well. Cape Town's moved to number 14. And I forwarded the email to Nick saying, "You see? You see what we've done?"
I believe somebody rushed into work this morning. Say one of the other morning shows in town was talking about it today as well, which is, I'm glad, A, because it means...
Is there more than one
apparently
morning
there are,
show?
And they're no longer just talking about penises or peni, whatever I never know what the plural is.
No, let's talk about it. Peni.
Okay.
So one genius, two genii. One penis, two peni.
So they've moved on a little. And as far as I'm concerned with this kind of thing, the more people that talk about it, the better.
Because we're one unit. We need to get on that board.
Exactly.
It's important. I mean, it's not a new game. It's established. Monopoly is a part of our lives.
We're up to number 10, I think.
Really?
Anyway, look.
When do you think they'll all start to catch up and they'll start to have the radio stations tell them?
The guys in the east are kind of, they're moving. Hey, Beijing is apparently shooting up the rankings. I don't know what the other city's doing. I don't know. Obviously,
but in terms of the lower down ones, I think we'll be...
We're not even? You have to get near the microphone, even in this studio. Okay, sorry. Just hold on a second while we listen to Bob's question.
Are we not even in the top 65?
No, we're in the top 14. We're at number
14 now. It's moved up since I wrote the article.
No, we're not in the wild cards. Johannesburg's in the wild cards. We're in the real deal cities. We're ahead of...
Tell me about... No. Skin, tell me what your hand Dom said. He said...
Anyway, if you can't find the site, because if you get it the wrong... It's Monopoly
World
Vote.
Look on Two Oceans Vibes.
Okay, all right. Look on TwoOceansVibe.com.
And we've got... instructions with visual aids that will help you do exactly what
you need to
vote.
The guide for idiots. It's right there.
Yeah, it's all there, but it's very hard to explain over the air.
It is.
So best get to TwoOceansVibe.com and vote for Cape Town. I'm just completely lost after that. Did you watch Shabba Ranks on my...
I have seen it. I have seen it.
Mr. Leatherman was awesome.
I have enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed finding these songs. They said to me, find 10 songs. We spent a lot of time, a couple of friends, just going through all sorts of tunes, and it's been wild.
Oh, did you have like a team with you?
I bounced some ideas off people, and it's kind of cool. Like if somebody says you find 10 songs, you don't want to overdo it, right? I was listening on my iPod to Queen last night, driving somewhere. I thought this should really be.
There's always time for Queen.
This should really be something by Queen. And then I thought, no, you don't want to give people the impression this is like your 10.
You're a queen. Yeah,
your
yeah.
ultimate 10 songs, because that's a lot of pressure.
Well, I was wondering when you'd say that, because people that choose these songs, they usually feel like they are under pressure, that it is their favorite song.
These are just like 10 pretty cool songs.
Yeah, but you're saying that, just to protect yourself.
No, but I mean, they're like classics that aren't on there.
Yeah. What? What did you say? Are you sure that's your favorite? This is one of Nick's choices, Guns N' Roses, Paradise City. You tuned into the 2 Oceans Vibe Show. We'll catch you after this. Thanks for joining us.
young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
Nick, KFM have got various kinds of Welcome to KFM things that they play after songs. Before you start, do any of them involve telling the listeners to touch themselves?
We went through a touch yourself phase. No, none of them, no.
Well, yours is fairly bad. There's a whole thing that says, most people in Cape Town are waking up with Nick Murray. What's that about?
I don't know how to answer that question.
But you did think about that. And
sex a fifth and move along.
And surely it amuses you that, though. Waking up with Nick Murray. I mean, it actually says not to, it says with. Waking up with Nick Murray.
Yeah, that's pretty
awesome. What an awesome feeling. Mine will be wake up with Seth Rotherham inside you. Whoa, pushed a little bit there with a KFM host here, the voice of the people. You can't really say things like that, eh, Nick?
The voice of the people, you do. You certainly can't say things like that. It's very presumptuous.
Very presumptuous indeed. So we've chatted about how do you know song timings and wake up with Nick Murray. Let's talk about the thing that we were talking about when we left Manor Restaurant yesterday, parking. You had an issue with parking.
By the way, we were at Manor Restaurant yesterday because...
I've always had a drama there. It was the first time I haven't had a drama.
It was drama-free with me. But Seth, this is the kind of dedication that you don't even know this, but this is the kind of effort behind the scenes that you were getting from this broadcast to Earth. Seth is meeting in advance. Bob, how many times have I interviewed you? I mean, too many to count. How many times have I ever met with you before the show?
To be honest, Nick, I was pretty disappointed with the
number of times. Basically, never.
Never.
Never. But, I mean, we're always very welcoming.
Thank you.
And good coffee.
Very good.
Yeah, but surely you should meet first, just to get a vibe.
And what?
Good question.
Good question.
Good question, Aguado.
But Seth is he's putting in the effort. He's throwing in the time.
Speaking of putting in the effort, we don't have any staff here, any people shouting in your
ear. Except the young Filipino kids under your desk.
Cambodian. under the floorboards. Very handy. They just churn out slip slops all day. We've received a text message. For those of you sending text messages, questions for Nick Murray or special guest Bob Skinstad, who just found himself in the area. But he's feeling bad. He doesn't want to take over shit. And he's saying, no, no, no. Questions for Nick. SMS to, if you're in South Africa, 076-907-3679. If you're overseas, plus 27-76-907-3679.
And the first question, I think, is, Nick, ask Bob what it feels like to have won the World Cup.
Why don't we talk about that, Bob. Have you had a chance to chat to anyone about it? Anyway, so text your messages, and if you've got Skype voice, you can send in a Skype phone call anytime you want. Our Skype name is The Two Oceans Vibe Show. If you're online and you've got Skype voice, send in a call now, and as soon as you send the call, we'll take your call. But in the meantime, we've received a message here from a +42 number, which is probably Prague. Let's see what he says. Listening to you fellas in Prague. There you go.
Well done.
Listening to you fellas in Prague at the moment. Cape Town has now hit number 9 on the Monopoly leaderboard.
That is fantastic.
Single figures, Cape Town.
It's obviously a radio show pushing that somewhere.
Yeah, although it won't tell you exactly what to do on the website, which 2 Ocean 5 does quite clearly. Awesome show, buggers. Cheers, Nick. Someone tells me the guy's from Durban originally. I don't know. The buggers. I mentioned on the...
Parking.
Parking, yes.
What is it with cars?
Nick's very upset about
this
parking.
This is a big deal for me. What is it? I don't mind them parking. My problem is when they park in the road. Like, I don't get this. When you're driving up, you know that road that runs between Lifestyles on Kloof and ETV? I never know what it's called. Off Kloof Street.
Where's ETV?
Between Park. Is it Park? Where Greens is and Rick's, Parker, Rick's yeah. Cafe Park. American.
In fact, I think it's even called Park Lane. Don't fucking push it, Seth. Yeah, sorry, Nick.
And the cars just stop, like the trucks that are delivering things, just and they'll stop opposite each other so no one can get past.
That road is a fuck up. It's always
I just don't understand. How are you so, and I don't mind, I mean, I'm a pretty easygoing guy, right?
You're pretty easygoing.
But how is it that you're so in your own head that you think, well, I need to be in this shop and there's no space available, so I'm just going to stop in the road.
Put on the hazard lights. Put on the hazards and you're fine. It's bullshit. We have another text message here. This time, Skinner. This is to Bob.
Skinner. One for Seth, one for Bob, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. Skinner, what's your all-time best sliding scale? It's got to be Golders.
All-time best sliding scale. Does anyone know the concept of the sliding
yes,
scale?
Yes, Nick actually raised it, even though might not be... not Nick Marin, Nick Goldblatt, one of the Church of Our characters. And he said his favorite thing is talking about sliding scales. And he goes, would you or would you not, on a sliding scale, Claudia Schiffer and Paris Hilton? That's what he means. So he's saying, what is your best sliding scale in terms of putting up two people against each other?
Are Claudia Schiffer and Paris Hilton not both sort of somewhere on the same end of the sliding scale? Would it not be like 100%. Margaret Thatcher?
This guy's very with it.
To Claudia Schiffer.
I just chose them because those are the two books on your table. I'm sorry.
That's rubbish. A sliding scale is like the Ugly Betty, Paris Hilton sliding scale of celebrity looks.
Do you really think Paris Hilton is hot, Bob?
No, but I'm talking about his sliding scale.
Why do you say that? She is actually hot. No, physically, she is hot. Of course.
I'm with Bob, sorry.
If you never knew who she was, or if she was not who she is, and you just saw her walking down the street, you would gawk. She is hot. Of course she is. Are you joking?
If Paris Hilton walked into a bar and asked for a double entendre, is it that sort of thing?
Paris Hilton walked into a bar.
What? She's hot, but she's not. She's not Claudia Schiffer.
No, she never will be. But she is hot. People go, she's not hot because they're angry about the things that she's done. But the point is, physically...
I was just confused because Bob has always come across to me as a well-to-do, very happily married, with children man. And Paris Hilton is none of those things. And I
have another game. It's not the sliding scale game. It's called
Let's play your game then.
It's called the Who Would You Rather Be game.
Or a wasp.
No, let me get to that, Bob. Jeepers, that is... Nick, who would you rather be? Bob Skinsett or Seth Rotherham?
Bob Skinsett. Wow. Wow.
B. Not hold or shop with or chat to. Who would you rather be?
Seth, if my answer was Seth, I would just tell you right out, but I'm going to take the fifth, I think.
Okay, well, let's try another one. Who would you rather be? Bob, who would you rather be? DJ Fresh or... Gareth Cliff.
Exactly. What would you rather do? You can get terrible ones like that. Would you rather shave your balls in front of a crowd of 600 people?
No, the other one.
Or, yeah, well, exactly, be dragged behind a car for 60 meters.
That's a Camp Stahlbar question right there. That's a Springbok training camp question. It's straws.
How was the... speaking of Springbok training camps, and not to veer too far away from Nick Marais, and you did just raise it now, we know that you were in the most recent training camp, Bob. Did you also involve yourself in Stahldraht?
No.
That's the official answer, even from the guys who were there.
Yeah. I did not pump up a ball underwater with my penis.
Were you US for the best days and at Camp Stahldraht? No. In Australia, were you at Camp Stahldraht? No. Yeah.
A friend of mine bought all the number plates from 1 to 10 for GP. 1 GP, 2 GP.
It's the cost of
all.
Fortune.
No, he was actually the guy that owns the company that sells them.
Right, so he bought them from himself.
Yeah, and he sold 9 GP to Yost for 100 grand. Nice, yes. Good one. Nice. Okay. Oh, number 9. Okay, I get it. Good one. Good one. Seth, 69. I'll take it. 69 happens.
There's someone driving around with 69. Do you know who it is?
A friend of mine. I handled the deal from the guy that had it.
Well, then
the
I'll be nice
guy.
About it.
It's my friend Martin. I won't say his surname in case he doesn't
and that's
want
a,
me
that's
to.
That's a BMW driver as well.
No, it used to be you thinking of the black BMW.
Black BMW, exactly.
Convertible.
Yes.
He sold it to my client for over 100 grand. I won't say exactly what. And it's now on my friend's black Lamborghini, CA69. I love it. Beautiful. Bob just slipped me a note saying prizes. What do you mean? Should we throw out some prizes? Well, we'll throw out a prize from the easiest people that we can. And we haven't asked them for this, but we're going to throw out a prize from Play Euro Millions Lottery. For it'll be a year's supply of one line per weekly lottery. You'll get free of charge if you send in a text now. From the furthest place from Cape Town. If we receive a text from the furthest place, you will win 1 year lucky draw lines to the Play Euro Millions lottery free of charge if you send in a text saying, "How's it, boys?" and a little spiel to the following number. And you need to be the furthest away from Cape Town. I've got Bob Skinset and Nick Marais, who did very well at school in geography, and we will know.
I didn't do geography. Did you do geography? Which is further, Boston or Tokyo?
At the moment.
Currently, what with the whole global warming thing? Who knows?
Well, no. It's hotting up because we've had one from Prague and we've had one from PE.
Yeah, we've had a text from Prague and one from PE.
If you think you're a contender, could you just check before you SMS and then tell us if you're the furthest away so that Seth knows?
And
there are no atlases or atlas
just to remind you
the studio.
Of a number, you can win a line in every lottery free of charge for the next year to Play Euro Millions Lottery. Send a text with a little spiel. The furthest away from Cape Town wins. The number to send to is +27 76 907 3679. And if you're in South Africa, give it a bash, but you're probably going
to
lose. Now, how do they prove? They could easily lie and say, yes, you don't have to prove it.
I don't know what the cell phone reception's like on the moon, Bob, hypothetically.
Yeah, it just so happens that...
Don't complicate things. Seriously, I'm just shocked we're giving away lines. It's a very Camps Bay prize, obviously.
Had to come up. Again, the number we've just had a text. The number to send a text to is +27 76 907 3679. The person who sends a text from the furthest away wins one line per week to the Play Euro Millions lottery, courtesy of playeuromillions.com. I haven't asked them for this prize, but I know they're going to give it because they're such beautiful people. Other than that, I don't quite know what to say, except that we've got quite a big intro clock here. So this is...
You've got to start playing it before you run out of things to say.
I didn't look at the time. I just pressed enter. And if you've got Skype calls, the Skype name is The Two Oceans Vibe Show. We'll be taking calls right after this. It's 30 degrees outside and it's 4:37, people. Catch you after this.
Yeah.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And you're back with Two Oceans Vibe, but if you've just joined us, we're in the studio with Nick Maria from KFM, whose name on the Two Oceans Vibe characters list is the DJ, and surprise guest, who was just wandering around Seapoint, Bob Skinstad.
I didn't gatecrash Bob Skinstad's show.
I know. What's that about, Bob? Trying to take over and shit. Come now. Control freak. I am God. Text messages people have been sending in during the break. People who send in the text from the furthest place from Cape Town will win one line per Euro Millions lottery for the next year.
Did you say furthest place? Did you? No.
Farthest?
I'm not. No, well, you didn't say furthest, though, did you?
No, furthest.
We're still all a little shocked about the. You saw the story in the Cape Times this morning. Understandable. It feels like you've just woken up. In Parliament yesterday, discussing
the... You feel like you've just woken up.
The energy crisis. And yeah. Our minerals
and
energy...
I heard there's a problem, yeah? I believe there's a problem.
Our minerals and energy minister said you should all just go to sleep earlier so that you can be cleverer.
I did watch her on the news. She actually said that. Did you see that, Bob?
That's a keeper. You could be cleverer.
Yeah, go to bed earlier.
So I'm going to bed right after the show because obviously I want to be the cleverest.
Yeah, do you think that she also thought about people that work through the night who do very well because they work through the night?
The more you sleep, the cleverer you can be.
Yeah, let's just sleep all day long and we'll be a thriving nation with so much power and light bulbs.
That's why the MPs are sleeping all of the time in Parliament. They are.
It's hilarious.
They're becoming cleverer.
And Nick asked me during the break if he thinks the show's going well. I think it is, and I think part of the reason is I'm not as fucked as I normally am. It's something that I thought would be fun at the start, and listening back to the past shows, I see there's a definite gradual decline to the show as we get moving. So all I did today was I had a shot of tequila and a drag on a joint, and I'm on my second beer with Nick here, who did not hear the joint thing because he's on a radio on a
sure of course
on the people's radio station.
I mean, I actually didn't. Now that I said sure of course, it sounds like I did.
His ears were blocked. La 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 la. During the break, we received some text messages. You can win whatever from Play Euro Millions, one line per week for the next year in the lottery. The last one was for 800 million. Got some more texts. Let's run through them. The first one was from Prague. Second one, hey boys, Tete might not be the furthest from Cape Town, but it feels like it is. For example, have any of you ever thought of visiting this shithole? My point exactly. Cheers, Candace. And
what is Candace doing there, Seth?
Huh?
What is Candace doing there?
God knows. Oh. Listening to her. She waits all week to listen to this show, and she's
a long way to travel just to tune into the show. And I know people in Cape Town who are tuned into the show.
Oh, really?
She should come home.
Of course you do. I got a text from another one right now that says, "I am liking to be SMSing you from Paro, the furthest place from anywhere in the world." Very good. Let's do one more. Hello, boys. I miss Cape Town. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Sarah Meta in Sweden. That's quite good. So we've had Prague, we've had Sweden.
Can I just point out, when Seth gives you the number again, that he hasn't worked out the silent mode on his phone. So when you SMS, for the sheer price of, 25 cents, you will actually hear yourself.
You'll
on
hear
this.
Your phone. If you send a text right now, you'll hear the phone go beep, beep. Let's
you
see.
Will be streamed to Earth.
Yeah. Your text message noise that you make.
For 30 cents.
For 30 cents. Well, it depends. I don't know how much things are in Sweden. Probably free. They've probably got free electricity as well, which they could maybe send a pipe through to Cape Town. I don't have the text message number in front of me because Bob Skinstad has turned around the laptop and is playing with
it's
it
on
himself.
The back of the phone, I think, Seth. I think somebody's handling...
It's on the back of the phone, the number to send text messages to. I'm now holding the phone next to the microphone. If you send a text right now, you'll hear the noise it makes.
Somebody knew you might find yourself in this predicament and wrote the number of the phone on the phone.
On the phone. That's due to my staff. They are wonderful. The PA who is leaving me, probably she filed for divorce in the last month.
Bob, what does the 34 degrees mean? Is that Sweden?
I'm trying to work out what is exactly the opposite place on Earth.
The opposite, the furthest, the literal furthest place. Bob Skinstad is doing research through Google. He's mapping the coordinates of locations on the planet to work out what is... This is not your average rugby player, ladies and gentlemen.
He likes playing on the laptops. We should actually have you on the show every week just to work the laptop. If you want to hear the cell phone make a noise for an incoming...
It's not going very well for you, is it?
No, well, it's very hard to read.
I'll send you a message. What's the number?
No, let's let them do it, Nick. Please don't do it. The text message number for overseas, the furthest away will win a year's supply of lottery tickets to the Play Euro Millions lottery. The last one was 800 million, which means you can buy the jet is called the... It's not the Learjet? G550. The Gulfstream.
G550. Although Elton John drives one, so I don't know how cool it really is.
I don't know if he physically drives it. He probably chills out with furnishing him. The number to send a text message to, and you'll hear the phone go beep on air.
He has a 747. He has. You didn't believe me when I told somebody this the other day.
I definitely know that.
Oh, definitely. Okay.
He's even got like a parking thing place for his 747. Just for the nose. It's very funny.
It's pushing it a little.
Let me read the number. It's +27 769073679. Again, if you're in Cape Town, take away the +27 and just do a 0. +27 769073679. Send a text right now, and I'm holding it next to the microphone, and you'll hear the noise, and you might even win a year's supply of tickets to the Euro Millions lottery. Nick, you're a DJ on KFM's morning show. You are the king of the castle there. You made it quite clear earlier on that the morning show guy is the most important. And
I didn't mean me, though. I just meant generally.
There we go. Text message just come through. Someone has... the phone's also ringing. Okay, let's hear it. It's from +2782. Someone has just sent in this text. If you want to text them and tell them well done, their number is +27 829516074.
You know, there was an ICASA case against the guy who did that, right? Somebody's... I mean, obviously, you're not beholden to ICASA or anybody except your parents, apparently.
A what?
ICASA.
What is that?
It's the government organization that controls broadcasting in the country. Anyway,
no,
some...
No, we don't have to worry about
that. No, some radio presenter gave out somebody's cell phone number over the radio once.
And they were sued.
Oh, they harassed him, I think. And so he said, why don't you send this guy a message telling him he's a tit?
Well, you're allowed to say that.
I don't know. I can hear.
It's the worst word to come out of Nick's mouth for this show. I doubt you'd say it on
KFM. I did say fuck earlier.
Yeah, you were just saying it.
How is tit worse than fuck?
Nick, tell me about... you don't see yourself as a DJ. You see yourself as a host, a presenter. What do you think of DJs that were musical DJs, like DJ... I don't know.
Stumbled into a studio and
DJ,
somehow...
DJ Stale, for example, who used to be like a normal DJ and suddenly becomes a radio DJ.
I don't understand why they want to. I don't get that. I don't, because the main thing on radio is, as you know, talking.
Yeah.
Right? Communicating, asking questions.
Well, this is the thing. They sort of assume that they will be good at it, and I've got news, you aren't.
The strange thing is, obviously a radio station is made up of the talky bit and the music bit.
Yeah.
Now the music bits aren't controlled by the DJ.
Yeah, do you want to do both? Because you can't.
No, the music bits are controlled by the music guy.
Yeah.
So if you're a music DJ and you find yourself in a radio studio, suddenly you can't do the music bits. So your main skill is really going to waste.
Yeah.
And you're probably not as good at the talky bits.
Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not.
Not you, but DJ Stale.
I'd be useless in a club. Like, I am useless in a club, and that's just on the dance floor. You should see. I mean, if I had to mix discs of spin, wreck the decks,
this is not your vibe.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
This is not your vibe. Do you find a lot of people thinking that you are like very into music and you know everything about music?
Not so much anymore. Right? I think people kind of know generally.
Yeah, like Nick, what do you want to hear? What song do you want to hear? Do you get that?
The last time I got that was yesterday when you said, Nick, choose the songs that you want to hear.
Very good. But so there's that whole thing about DJs who want to be DJs, meaning hosts. And then another thing that I found when I made a mistake of tuning into another station the other day, there seems to be a lot of morning show talk about sex and just toilet humor.
Sex. Is there anything else?
Yeah, like, here's an interesting story from Turkey, and let's talk about a man who fucked five horses, blah, blah, blah. It's just this continuous sex thing.
As you do.
Is that all you do to draw a crowd? I mean, Nick, do you guys do much of that?
You want a serious answer on this, clearly.
Yeah, please.
My theory on this, Seth, is that a conversation on radio is just like a conversation here. It's just like a conversation at Bob's house. Although I've never been invited to Bob's house. It's just like a conversation.
It's very hard to crack the mode.
It's just like a
car as well. Yeah?
Conversation at your friend's house over the weekend. Yeah. And that involves sex sometimes.
Sometimes.
We're all grown-ups, and sometimes we talk about sex, and very occasionally we even have it.
Yeah, very occasionally. Especially the fucking psychos I've been hanging with.
But if you were hanging out...
Don't ever text me again.
If you were hanging out with that guy that you hear on the radio, whoever he is, that guy who just spoke about sex all of the time...
Yeah, we were talking about this, me and you, and he's the kind of guy that when you feel like sex talk, you'll throw in a 10-minute phone call and it's done. It's like that's my sex chat.
Once every sort of 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, but this constant.
But like, I don't know. My feeling is, it's like the politics. I don't think anybody really cares too much about whether Jacob Zuma is going to be the next president of South Africa. Like, sometimes it's there and sometimes there's sex, but mostly we're somewhere in the middle. And the dude who talks about sex all the time is a bit of a freak.
But it's quite nice that Zuma doesn't talk about sex the whole time. He just does it.
Good segue, Seth.
Yeah, and have a little shower afterwards. Catch you after this. This is
Cake.
I Will Survive. One of Nick Maria's choices. Catch you after this. Without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong. I learned how to get along. From outer space, I just walked in to find you here without that look upon your face. I should have changed my fucking lock. I would have made you leave your key if I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go walk out the door. Break me with desire. Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, now I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Just feeling sorry for myself, I used to cry. But now I hold my head up high, and you see me with somebody new. I'm not that stupid little person still in love with you. And so you thought you'd just drop by, and you expect me to be free. But now I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me. Oh, now go walk out the door, just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, now I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Yeah, yeah. dong.
Great, eh?
Great song. Another choice from Nick Murray. That was Cake singing I Will Survive. Pretty funny song, which reminded me of something else that I need you to listen to. But before we do that, send in your text messages to win a grand prize of an entry into every Euro Millions lottery for the next year from Play Euro Millions Lottery from playeuromillions.com. The number to send to you, the furthest away from Cape Town wins, +27 76 907 3679. If you're from Cape Town and you're away with your roaming phone, not a bad angle if you want to win this, if you want to cheat, if you're not scared of karma, it's 076-907-3679. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
You're a big fan of karma. I hear you talking about this a lot.
I never used to be until I turned good.
Oh. And well, that makes all the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Although
numerology, you might, having your star sign read.
That's not karma. Bob has also gone to the same lady, Val Paul. Val Paul in Greenpoint. My mom has been going to since I was born. Me and you had a chat about this once.
Bob, you've been to a numerologist? You know this is a newspaper headline tomorrow, eh?
No, it's not a numerologist.
Palm reader.
She's an astrologer, right? Bob, can I tell them about that thing with Val.
That thing with a thing. No?
Cancel.
Does she do the palm reading? Does she do the, I see an older man with an astrologer. His name starts with a G or an H.
There's an old man humping you. I don't know. Like, where does it all go wrong?
You know how cold calling works, hey? They just take extremes, so they'll say something like, I see an old man who, he was very calm, but sometimes he really lost his temper.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So they're safe. Yeah. That's brilliant. Nick, I had a look at your, there's a website, Bob, I don't know if you know this, nickmurray.com. Unbelievable.
It's a standalone site.
It does nothing. It's not a blog. I thought it was a blog. I was excited to read some stuff.
I thought about doing that at some stage, but the competition is so stiff. I mean, you've won that best blog of SA 17 years running, haven't
you? Yeah, but I'm not involved in it this year because, again, it's just too sinister.
Well,
again,
you stopped winning when you weren't sleeping with anybody on the panel. That's what I remember happening, right?
Well, they're all guys, and I certainly wouldn't touch them. The geeks at other sites. Only kidding, boys. Joe Blog, big fan of you boys. John Cherry, I'm only teasing, my boy. But let's just chat about the Noon Gun Restaurant. Have you heard of it, Bob?
Bob, this is a question for you.
On the text. Read it out, Nick.
No. You had a question for him.
I had a question for
you. You just asked him a question that ended with the words, comma, Bob, question mark. So I'm saying, Bob, this is a question for you.
Ah, nice one. Bob, have you heard about the Noon Gun Restaurant?
No, I haven't.
Did I send you a text about it?
I think you might have. You said...
It's awesome.
It'll blow your mind.
It'll blow your mind. I've been rolling around the Boer Kaap, or if you're from the area, it's the Boer Kaap. And I was rolling around there, and I was looking at... they have all of those sort of multicolored houses there, like pink, blue, blah, 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 blah. Are you aware of them, Bob? Mm. Nick is, because I sent a text to Nick saying, I think this is where we should be buying.
Where's the restaurant?
The restaurant is at the top of all of that. If you just...
Near the Noonday Gun.
Find roads to lead you as near as you can go to the Noonday Gun at the very top. It blew my mind. I thought it was like a play sign outside a house. Like, I thought, what? It said Noon Gun Restaurant.
It's got to be pretty cuck to be there at noon.
No, it must be awesome. It's like fucking eating. Hold. Bang! Yes! And into the curry. They serve the classic stuff that you would expect in the area, the sort of Malay type curry, samosas, and we have to go there. I think it's awesome. The view of Cape Town is spectacular. It's called the Noon Gun Restaurant. I'll take a flyer here and try to remember. I think it's Long Market Street. Has a lot of one-ways and stuff further down, but if you can go as far up Long Market Street, if there's a one-way that's coming down the mountain, go around and join it further up. And go the whole way up Long Market Street. It links up to the fucking Noon Gun Restaurant. I couldn't believe it. So that was that, which I really want to talk about. But I also wanted to talk about...
Thanks to the Noon Gun Restaurant for paying for that spot on the show.
Yeah. I won't be shy to tell you that they now owe me 100 samosas and 12 curries. I look forward to it. We played a fun song. I think it's fair to say that although it's a well-done song, Cake, I Will Survive It, is a humorous song because they do fuck around. Am I right, Nick?
They've got an amazing video. They've got another song. I can never remember whether it's Long Skirt and Short Jacket. No, that doesn't make any sense. It must be Long Jacket and Short Skirt. Anyway, whatever it's called, find it on YouTube. and they've done this. It's just an awesome video where they play the song through headphones for a whole bunch of randoms in the street, and they've got the guys commentating. So you can hear the song playing on the music video, yeah, and these random people saying things like, "Yeah, I like it. The chorus is pretty cool." And then they'll have a guy going, "I don't know so much. This guy's
voice." What do you think of that? Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's good fun.
There's a group.
Everybody's on YouTube, right?
It must be. Everything's on YouTube.
I mean, everyone is on YouTube. Everything is on YouTube, I have no doubt.
I'm on YouTube.
Okay, well, if you're there, YouTube? Everyone's there.
Are you on YouTube?
I live on YouTube.
Are you on it, though?
Am I personally?
Yeah.
I think there's a video.
Oh, really? How do we search for it? What are the keywords? Come on, Nick.
I don't know. You could.
Is your name in the keywords? Go to YouTube, people, and search for Nick Marais. There's no K in that first name. N-I-C, Marais. Don't know how to spell Marais. You're not from here. Bob, are there any YouTube vids of you?
No.
There's got to be some training sessions.
Cup standard stuff.
Sending the ball, maybe a line-out ball.
You can find that Jonty. I just checked that there. The Jonty Rhodes Intermammal Hucks. This is how amazing YouTube is. Like, it's got that. The Jonty Rhodes Intermammal Huck video. Like, everything.
Of course it does. No, it's amazing. My folks gave me this thing. It's called Apple TV. And it links wirelessly to your home's broadband, etc. And it sucks your iTunes from your system. And on your TV, you can look at photos, songs. And then there's also YouTube through this thing. And it's awesome. Sitting on your sofa with a big screen, which I hope you have, a plasma of sorts, to just search for YouTube videos. One of the things that you can look for is called Flight of the Conchords. Conchords is spelled C-O-N-C-H-O-R-D-S. They're from New Zealand. And these Kiwis are just the funniest thing I've ever seen. Here's their one song. It's called Part-Time Model.
The most beautiful girl in the whole wide room.
Yeah. Let's keep talking a little bit because we're going to have to load it up on this machine and we're going to act as though we didn't fuck up there. Next,
which is, which is good. You're a bit of a closet Apple man, Seth. I've just realized this. For years and years, I've been putting up with this.
Well,
Sony's the way to go. PC's the way to go. And now, if I'm not mistaken, I did just hear you raving about your little Apple box TV.
Bob, just let me... Just make one thing clear first, okay? Nick has a PC. That's the funniest thing about how he goes on about Apple. It's like, oh, Will, I thought you were a PC man. He carries on like he's a fucking Apple guy. Bob here is an Apple guy. And Apple.
Bob makes a lot more money than I do, though.
PCs are expensive. This little guy came in at 18, eh?
They saw you coming.
They saw me coming. Just before the Jets, I'll buy a Sony Vaio. What do you think about that, Bob? The fact that Nick... goes on about Apple, but
I'm aspirational. I would like an Apple, and I have no shame admitting that. You, for the last 3 or 4 years, have been mouthing off about how bad Apples are, and now here you are talking about this beautiful new Apple appliance your parents are giving.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mac. There's sort of a dual attitude here, which has been, he's got this public persona which eschews Apple and anything different to what he's got, and privately, in fact, just the other day he said, "Don't tell anyone I am thinking of getting."
Whoa! Apple. I said, "Don't tell anyone, Bob." What's your problem?
No, you're two against one here.
So. No, I must say, the fact that Nick raised a good point the other day. The fact that Apples just don't get viruses. It's just like too funny.
What is that? They don't get viruses.
Ever.
How?
It's like, I wonder which one I'll take. I don't know. Jesus, it's just too much.
The Apple is not sleeping with other computers. How is that? That's true, though. Isn't it, Bob? I keep hearing that. It's a sales pitch. Is there no Apple geek in the world who's thinking, I can't get a girlfriend, I'm going to write a virus?
I think there are loads, but the Apple market's so much smaller than the others because Apple, it's not... obviously a hardware thing, it's a software thing.
Can the Apple not catch a virus from the PC like dogs and cats? They can share stuff, can't they?
Can they?
Well, we got viruses from monkeys, right? I mean, we picked up simian viruses.
No, monkeys are closer to humans than dogs
but Apple's
or to cats,
PCs? I think Apple's... I mean, they talk to PCs now. That's the big thing, isn't it?
I'm definitely out of my depth here. I do know that Apple's, because of the software, they're a lot easier to use... Well, I use Firefox, or they've got their own operating software.
Tiger, what's it called? Tiger.
No, there's the Apple Tiger.
Tiger, don't you want an operating system called Tiger? We're on like DOS and Windows, and these guys are using
Using fucking wild animals with teeth and stuff. But I'm amazed that they...
Yeah, it's...
How about...
Vista.
So I've got Vista on this guy here. It crashes the whole time. But what
Apple's
about...
not crash, apparently.
What about buying... and Apple Mac, and now you can buy them and put on Windows. It's like, what are we doing here?
Is your Apple kind of snobby? Does it, like, if you put it in a network, it can't talk to computers? It doesn't socialize with, I don't know, like, if your wife's got a PC, they're not going to talk to each other.
No, they
what do you call that, Nick?
Socialize.
Love that. They don't socialize much.
No, they do. You find in an Apple network, they're outstanding because, in fact, you know, they'll make sure there's sort of cross-pollination of...
cross-pollination, nice.
But that's
nice.
Just with
very
other
nice.
Apples.
Yeah, mainly with other apples.
You can't compare the apples with...
Apples.
Yeah,
well, there's one thing I hate, and that's apples. A bad apple in the group. This is Flight of the Conchords, and this is their song. These guys are fucking hysterical.
Ooh, Jesus,
this
is song. We've had it for a long time there. Yeah, you guys... That loaded up.
Jesus, you guys are hanging on. this is... Yeah, 5 E's, we got Seth. Good one.
We'll look after you, Seth.
Yeah. Here's Flight of the Conchords, and this is their song. It's fucking funny. Go to YouTube and search for Flight of the Conchords with a CH. CONCHORDS. A little text message from someone. And search for Concords.
Don't let me interrupt you, though, Seth.
Yeah, sorry about that. Concords part-time model. Search for that, and this is what you'll get, and you'll see the video. But the song itself is just hysterical. Have a listen to this.
Look around the room, I can tell that you are the most beautiful girl in the room, in the whole wide room. And when you're on the street, depending on the street, I bet you were definitely in the top three good looking girls on the street,
depending on the street.
And when I saw you at my mate's place, I thought, what is she doing at my mate's place? How did he get a hottie like that to a party like his good one, Dave?
Ooh, you're a legend, Dave.
I asked Dave if he's gonna make a move on you. He's not sure. I said, Dave, do you mind if I do? He says it doesn't mind, but I can tell it kinda minds. But I'm gonna do it anyway. I see you standing all alone by the stereo. I dim the lights, stand very low. You're so beautiful. You could be a waitress. You're so beautiful. Well, you could be an air hostess in the 60s. You're so beautiful. Well, you could be a part-time model. And then I seal the deal. I do my moves, I do my dance moves. It's trouble too, just me and you. And seven other dudes around you on the dance floor. I draw you near, let's get out of here. Let's get in a cab. I'll buy you a kebab. I can't believe that I'm sharing a kebab with the most beautiful girl I have ever seen with a kebab. Ooh. Why don't we leave? Let's go to my house. We can feel each other up on the couch. Oh no, I don't mind taking a slap. Oh no, yeah. You're so beautiful,
like a tree or a high class prostitute.
You're so beautiful.
You could be a part-time model.
You probably still have to keep your normal job.
Part-time model,
spending part of your time modeling and part of your time next to me. My place is usually tidier than this.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey Britt. That's just Britt.
Turn the light off, Brett.
That was Flight of the Conchords with Part-Time Model. I love it. He says to the chick, you could be a part-time model. Part-time, not a full-time. You could be a part-time model.
Most beautiful girl in the whole wide room.
I know. It's so brilliant. These guys are genii. Definitely.
That is the plural.
Yeah.
That one we've got right.
Yeah, facts. But we don't know the plural for penis.
I think penis is penises. Really? But check out Wiktionary. Bob, good to see you.
Very nice. I have to let you out, Bob. Do you want to... let's just switch over to the song. I think it's much easier. Bob, you might as well stay for 30 seconds, which is the clock intro. What is this called?
This is an Australian band called Cat Empire. My seriously cool brother, who is nothing like me, every now and again says, Nick, you got to listen to this. This is real music.
Have you got a brother?
I have a seriously cool brother. And this is an Australian band called Cat Empire. It started as a jazz group, and have now... It's awesome. Just take a listen. It's called Lost Song, I think.
Lost Song by Cat Empire. It's 5:13. We'll be out of here in 20 minutes. Catch you after this. But I lost all the day when I've been searching in the night. And I've been searching in the rain. I tried to find them, but they disappeared. They walked away. They just did back. They left my side. And all I say is that I wasted time when I look for them. For now I know that things gone past are never to be found again. No, never. Come again, I had nine lives, but lost all of them.
And I've been searching for the thought, and I've been searching in the highs. I try your place to remember it. Another blueprint in my mind has gone. My mind forgot the color of direction. When my eyes, they see the house that could have built, that could have constructed the empire in my mind. The empire I'll never find. I had a plan, but that was where it ended. Oh,
ladies and gentlemen.
Talented boy. Around this way so I can work on that zipper, baby. Tonight, you're a star.
Young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And welcome back to the Two Oceans Vibe Show from the Atlantic Seaboard. It's 5:24. We've got Nick Murray in the studio. Welcome back, Nick.
Thanks, Seth. I've always wanted to say that.
Such a pleasure. We had Bob Skinstad earlier. He's just left. He got summons, and he's gone. During the break,
he's good, huh, Bob?
He's very good.
We can skinner about him because he's not listening. He's in the car.
We can skinner about Skin.
He's one of my favorite. In fact, this week we had Oscar Pistorius on the show. Pistorius, the Blade Runner.
Yes.
And I said afterwards, I'm given to hyperbole, so I sometimes say, like, that's, you know, one of the most amazing guys in the world. And I said afterwards, he's one of my favorite sportsmen to interview. And seriously, it's him and Bob.
Bob loves it, eh?
He's a legend. He's
But you see, the nice thing about him is he's also like a bit of a showman. And in the nicest way. And
I mean, it's all the love in the world, but it's fairly rare to find somebody who's that deep in professional sports who's as smart as he is. Like,
yeah.
He's got it switched on. You know, I mean, he's seriously, I could joke about it, but he's seriously here researching coordinates.
Yeah, in fact, after he left, because we had a competition, which we still have, sending your text messages the furthest one away from Cape Town. Furthest place on earth. From Cape Town will win a ticket to every week's lottery on the playeuromillions.com.
Seth's giving away lines.
Giving away lines on the Atlantic Seaboard to whoever sends the text from the furthest away, you can win. I did that on purpose. Did you say
what was the English question? Earlier you said there was an English language question.
Somebody just had a little moan at you.
Moan at me? Well, then fuck it.
Nick said fuck twice so far on the show. It is...
That wasn't the moan, should he?
No.
I'm allowed to swear.
Ben from Work Online asked that I send you these stats. Oh, those are stats.
Now we're just running through your personal emails.
Questions, yeah, sorry about that.
Do you want me to talk about the weather while you
No, hold on. Someone has a gripe. I won't read exactly what he said, but someone's got a gripe at how you say words like strategy and charity. You use a D, strategy, charity.
No, I've never said that in my life. Who's the email from?
It is from Graham J.
Let me try and give you a sentence. You can tell me if I'm guilty of it, all right? So let's make up a sentence. The organization's strategy is to hand more money to charity.
Well, he feels, yeah. He says, get him to pronounce the words strategy and charity. That's right. Both have a middle T. And not a middle D.
Oh, he wants a D.
No, he's saying that you use a D.
Or like an American, right?
Yeah, strategy.
Charity. No, charity. I don't know. If I'm guilty of it, I'm sorry. Graham or Bob or Roger or whatever your name is.
I'm very angry.
You know what kills me is when people say 20, like 29. There's a T that needs to be pronounced.
20, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I suddenly sound
I'm very bad
anal.
About
Let's
it, too.
Move on.
I'm very bad. Let's just go on to what we're talking about in the break. People who set their watches fast.
You are guilty of this. No, yours is accidental.
No,
yours
mine
is
yeah.
A very expensive watch that's gone so far around the edge it now can't keep time properly anymore.
Yeah, no, it's more a case of that's why you buy it. It's just to
wind
keep you focused on the watch.
Again.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's going slow. I need to keep tabs on my expensive watch. But I wound my watch slightly fast while I had lunch with Nick breakfast.
Okay, if that's the reason, it's so that you could stop the conversation and go, hold on, I just need to wind my Rolex. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I was just teasing though. But the point that I did was I know that mine runs a little bit slow. So I stick it slightly forward, knowing that it will be on time for a while in about 2 or 3 days' time. But we were talking about there are people that set
Lots
their watches forward. There's a lot of people who do
and
it.
They know exactly how far forward their watches are set. So you'll go, what's the time? And they go, it's 4:45, but my watch is 10 minutes fast.
And why do they do it? So that I'm never late. But if you know that it's wound forward, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
I don't understand how they're fooling themselves either. It's very weird to me.
It's like, why don't you look at the real time and it's like, I'm running late.
It's
or
like, I think it's
set
an
it 5 minutes forward and it's like, my watch says I'm not running late, but I know it's 5 minutes forward, so I know that I am.
I think they do it so that other people can't look at their watches, because if you ever look at the watch of a person who intentionally sets their watch forward, they always go, don't worry, it's 10 minutes fast. Like, it's just to fool everybody
else.
Have
you seen them go as far forward as 10 minutes?
I have, Seth, I have seen it.
I've seen fives. Tens. Have you seen fives? Tens.
And I work in increments. When you get up early enough in the morning, like, the difference between a 4:32 alarm and a 4:34 alarm is not to be scoffed at.
Yeah, for you, it's a big deal.
Like, if I'm having a
drive,
if I'm having a lie-in, if I've had a late night, I'll push my alarm right back to sort of 4:41 or 4:42.
Instead of?
4:30.
How long do you know is your shortest time that you have to get
from home to work?
No,
I thought you were going to ask a more interesting
when you wake up. If you're running late and you know that you can't shower, nothing. Have there been in the mornings where you can't shower and it's just straight?
Is it wrong? Because this is the second time I've been asked this question, and the last time I answered, somebody was disgusted. So if you tell me it's wrong, I'll lie. Is it wrong to say that I don't shower in the mornings?
Every morning?
I don't shower in the mornings unless I know I'm extremely tired. But if you got up at 4:30 in the morning, seriously, would you?
That's fair enough.
I mean, I shower at night and then I go to sleep.
Exactly. Is it like, could you have to wake up at 3:30 to have a good shower first? Are you kidding me? I need my sleep.
So I get up at 4:30 and it takes me 20 minutes to get up, get dressed, and get to work.
From start to finish to the door at work,
yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
And you see, and because you need your sleep. But
the really interesting question is, there's a cutoff. There's a point at which... there's a point at which it's no longer worth going...
Or a cutoff.
A cutoff with a D for Graham, or John, or Roger,
Graham
or whatever
Jay.
His name was. There's a point at which it's no longer worth going to bed. So say you've been out at night, right? And you've got to get up at 5 in the morning.
Because Nick gets smashed. He has been smashed.
In my younger days, it has happened before. And now you get home. And
Hardiman would never do that.
Of course not. In his younger days.
Yeah, like 10 years ago
but
when
now
he was younger.
He's older.
He's getting on.
Older and responsible.
Yeah.
If you get home at 3:30 and you've got to be up at 5, it's not worth going to bed. I don't care what anybody tells you.
No, it's not.
Trust
worth
me on
it.
This. It's not. Just stay up.
Just
watch.
Right at 3.
Series screen the A-team at 4. So if you ever find yourself in this predicament, then that's something worth watching. But do not try going to bed, because if you get less than 2 hours sleep, you'll wake up feeling worse than when you went to bed.
Absolutely. What is the how do you work at home? When you go home at night time, chilling at home, when do you know, like, I think I need to get to bed? I mean, is it like... Like, are you asleep at 8 when asleep
Seth,
at 10?
I go to bed at about 11.
So you go to bed at the same time as most folk, but you're just up
you can't,
earlier.
Seriously, to get a full night's sleep, you'd have to go to bed at 8:30. And that's just impossible.
No, I think you need the classic 8 hours.
Exactly, and I get up at 4:30, so minus 8 hours is 8:30.
And you don't...
8:30 for you, Graham.
30. 30, Graham.
30.
Graham J.
Yeah. So to go to bed at 8:30 is just unreasonable, and I tend to end up. Suddenly this has got very personal. We're talking about my sleeping patterns.
Yeah, it's getting very weird. People are talking
Stop
about Nick's showering habits. Yeah, come on, guys. This is Arctic Monkeys with Red Light Indicates Doors Are Secure. Catch you after this.
No, we'll have to have two. We are coming up at our end on you, so I'll get one with you. Won't let us have six in, especially not with the food. He could have just told us no, though. He didn't have to be rude. You see her with the green dress. She talked to me at the bar. Where I can miss her many £2.50. We've only gonna buy a yard. Didn't you see she was gorgeous? She was beyond belief. But this lad at the side drinking a Smirnoff Ice came and played for a tropical reef. And I'm sitting going backwards, and I didn't know want to leave. I said it's a green maid by a Hillsborough, please. Well, that's funny with that sketch earlier. Up near that taxi rank. Oh no, you would have missed it. Think it were when you went to the bank. These two lads swearing up, brothers shouting. Oh, we're next in the queue. The kind of thing that seems so silly, but not when they both had a few. Oh, well, calm down, temper, temper. We just young girls so annoyed. Well, you're acting like a silly little boy. Well, they wanted to be men and do some fighting in the street. They said no surrender, no counter retreat. We'll be right back.
walls are secure.
Accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And we're back on the Two Oceans Vibe Show after that marathon of songs. The first one was, Nick?
Lost Song, is that where we were, Cat Empire?
Lost Song, Cat. Jeez, it's been a while. You've got to look this band up.
Seriously, they're Australian. They're a little jazzy, but they've got some very cool stuff. Cat Empire.
Cat Empire, and their logo is awesome. It's like a cat's eye with a crown.
I've been fun choosing these tunes today, man. Thanks for that.
No, it's a pleasure.
And
thank
then
you.
The Offspring.
The Offspring was our second song
Hit
with
that.
Their song Hit That, which was awesome. And the third song was not a song, it was the intro to the Two Oceans Vibe Show. Nick, you were chatting about something in the break?
Free gifts.
Show gifts.
I don't know if I'm getting anything today, and we never... I am getting something. No, I'm not. That's just yours.
Nick, you always get something here. It's called the Ape Town T-shirt.
I saw a little Ape Town sticker somewhere the other day on one of the... I was driving out of the waterfront, I think.
Yeah, we call that... guerrilla marketing.
Very clever.
Yeah.
I was chatting to somebody I know the other day who has recently been, now it sounds like I'm name dropping. I don't have any celebrity friends. People always ask about this.
People like, are your friends and they happen to be a celebrity.
No, it doesn't even happen like that. I don't, there are literally only one, I mean, you obviously, you're famous in your own way.
In my own way.
And
so you're not friends with the likes of Mark Bailey, anyone like that?
No, no, they come in for interviews and some of them I really enjoy spending time with in the studio and some of them I really hate spending time with in the studio. Not hate, but some of them, you know, yeah, they don't work.
But
they
you don't take their numbers and stuff. You wanted to talk about show gifts first.
Anyway, so what I was going to say is one of the only people I've ever kind of made friends with who's coming to the show for a celebrity interview is a guy called Lewis Pugh, who does these marathon swims. He's in that awesome ad for Investec.
The ad where he goes where's next to the penguins.
It's like cycling underwater and then he swims up and he's fighting with polar bears and things.
In a cold, yeah.
And he did that 1 kilometer swim in
underwater.
In the North Pole in -1.8 degrees. And on his team were Tim Noakes, who obviously you know from The Law of Running, and Otto Tanning, whose son you may well
Carl
have been.
Carl Tanning is a very good friend of mine. Carl used to... And Carl swam. Carl,
Olympics.
Yeah. And when I went to Australia, Carl stayed with me and my folks when he was in Melbourne up for the games. What are the games called? The
Commonwealth games. Did they not give them accommodation? Did he really have to look up a friend?
No, he did, but it was just nice to have him around. He's an old friend since standard.
Sure, exactly.
Five.
Anyway, so his dad, Otto, who's the cardio surgeon.
Yeah, brilliant.
Is on Lewis's team.
Yeah.
And Lewis, after he was on our show, obviously, was on with Jay Leno.
Yeah.
It's a seriously good interview. Yeah,
no,
he was
great.
On the same night as Kevin James, who's the King of Queens.
Yes.
Anyway, Lewis is telling me that besides hanging out in the green room at all of these various places,
green room is
like the waiting room before you go on stage with
it's normally green.
I guess so.
Yeah,
it's always been called
is there
the green.
A green screen.
So he did Jay and he did John Stewart, you know, from Comedy Hour or whatever. And so John Stewart gives the best gifts. Apparently, when you do one of these shows, they give you a set of gifts afterwards that include things like a free tattoo at New York's most well-known tattoo parlor. So I have no idea what show gifts are coming up here.
It'll probably be beer and love.
Beer I've had and love I can do without.
Nick, let's not get too deep into it. Speaking of love and stuff, you are recently single, is that right?
I am single. So.
How does that feel? How long has it been?
How long have I been single?
How long have you not been single until now?
What the hell does that mean? I don't understand that.
How long were you seeing your last chick?
How long was I seeing the last chick? About 2 years.
2 years. So there we go.
That's a long time.
Yeah, so how does it feel to be single again?
Not to get too personal, I'm good, thanks. Yeah,
you're working it nicely.
No, not working
In the morning and
just
night.
Chilling out.
Just before you fall asleep and just after you wake up. That's why his clock is set 10 minutes early
just
these days.
Just living in the shadow of the incredible radio presenter that is Richard Hardiman.
Richard Hardiman, what a shadow to live in.
You know, you joke about that, but I'm so glad that we finally got... So you were going to say to me, I get one free plug.
Yeah. What is your free
plug? That's like a tradition here.
Brand.
And I have no interest in plugging anything, except maybe since we've been ragging him, Richard, who it is so nice for me as a... Like, I may be on the radio, but first and foremost...
It's nice to like someone
who's
hot.
I'm just a guy who likes listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And it is really nice to have someone who's kind of fresh and talented back on the radio in the afternoons.
Where did he go?
Somewhere. He was globetrotting. But there was just this, like,
Vegas
this
thing.
Dearth of... A total lack of talent in afternoons on the radio in this town. And it is...
How do you get on with Benito Vigatini?
He's cool. Benito, believe it or not, has at certain times of the day has the biggest radio audience in the history of Cape Town.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
What was he trying to sell then?
He's not. What do you mean? He's trying to sell him. He's, you know, he's.
No, but when did he? Why?
Oh, because
why
people,
was that
more
show?
More people, believe it or not, listen sort of at like 10 o'clock in the morning. They're at work or they're at home or they've chilled out.
Oh, really? Is there more than your show?
It's a very different kind of audience. I mean, the figures will kind of bore you, but it's a different kind of consumption.
So you're saying that he gets more viewers?
No,
sorry,
he
more
has more
listeners.
Man hours because people listen for longer at that time.
How
of
long
day.
Is his show?
3 hours.
And yours is
3 hours.
Yeah, but yours starts at 6, so it's quite time fixed. Right?
It's not so much that. It's just that in our show, people listen like 20 minutes here and then they go to work. Whereas with Benito, they listen for like, you know, 2 hours at a stretch. So when it comes to
to pure man hours,
yeah.
the number of people multiplied by the amount of time they're listening.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
king
yeah, yeah.
of this town, man. He owns it. But Hardiman is just, he's so cool and fresh, and I'm just so...
Good looking and old.
Oh, hot.
Hot and old. And like an older hot. Like a sort
like
of...
Like a Richard Gere, kind of.
I was about to say, Richard, he's so
but
Richard
But not Richard Gere now. Richard Gere in like Pretty Woman, you know?
Is it Richard Gere or Gere?
Gere, sure, but I don't know. I mispronounce everything.
And
apparently.
That new chick from Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, I hate this question.
What's her name?
Catherine Heigl.
Is it Heigl or
Hegel?
Or
I don't
Heigl.
No, I think it's Heigl. It rhymes with bagel.
She actually...
No, it's Heigl. Catherine Heigl.
She actually made a scene about it at an awards.
Somebody
thing.
Mispronounced her name?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't dig her, though.
I think she's hot, but I don't
she's
like...
She's very awkward in that show, Grey's. Mm,
I think she's aware of the fact that she is fairly hot. I think she's hot. Do you think that she's hot?
She's the hottest on Grey's. Although that my favorite is Bailey, right? How sassy is Bailey? Seriously.
Who's that?
Bailey, the I don't know, the woman in charge.
You see the slightly eastern looking woman?
No, the short, slightly black looking woman.
Okay, slightly black looking. someone is slightly black looking. We're just sipping on Gabriel beer that I got from my friends at V to E.
Seth, by the way, is no foreigner to receiving free gifts and
well,
happily
just have
talking
a chat
about
them. How do you handle the people that you like sort of feel that they're starting to pressurize you to maybe give a mention? How do you handle
that? We don't
them?
Do it. We don't do. We have a rule, and it's just we've created our own rule. And
so how do you handle like semi
people
friends?
People say like, do you want to come to the Kruger National Park for the weekend? Will you talk about it when you get back? And we always say, look, I'd love to come to the Kruger National Park, but I'm not talking about it on the radio. We had a really interesting conversation at work this morning about guys who they like switch from one radio station to another and they go back and they say things like I was worried I didn't have editorial control. Have you heard that?
Yes, I have.
I didn't have editorial control.
Yeah, why would you?
I didn't have enough freedom. Now,
it's like the Mike Tyson thing.
I've never had any problem talking about anything I want to talk about. No one has ever moaned at anything. It's all fair game, except for one thing. You can't go on air and say, man, my new car kicks ass thanks to the guys at X.
Exactly.
And whenever you hear somebody in radio say, I'm moving because I don't have editorial freedom, what they mean is they can't rave about the fact that they'll be playing tonight at Opium, and you can catch them there.
Yeah, well.
So I don't get free stuff, but
for me, all I do is I hang near to Nick, and I make him read my websites, and sometimes he gives it a mention, but I never push. But I know when he will.
And I in turn get free stuff.
Exactly, like when I mentioned the Monopoly thing, he did the same thing. This is the White Stripes. It's one of Nick's choices. It's called the Seven Nation Army. We'll catch you after this. Taking that time right behind my back, and I'm talking to myself at night because I can't forget. Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette, and a message coming from my eyes.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And we're back with the Two Oceans Vibe Show, coming to you live from the Atlantic Seaboard. It's 10 to 6. We've overshot the mark, but unlike KFM, there are no rules here. Nick, you have to be out at 9 o'clock. How do you
do? I do. There's a great story about my favorite radio presenter of all time, a guy called Chris Evans.
My favorite from the UK.
Yeah, he was on Virgin Radio.
He went out with
Billy Piper. That's right. He married Billy Piper.
Yeah.
And
for a little bit.
I was there briefly in 96, and he was all the rage. He was doing the morning show on Virgin.
Mm.
And in fact bought Virgin. He's one of the few radio presenters who's made
a fucking fortune. Yeah.
He fell apart. A bit of an alcohol problem. Totally fell apart. And the horror story. But the awesome
He did very well for a redhead.
He did very well full stop. made a fortune and just these legendary
great in love with a 19-year-old.
Yeah, well, as you do.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I did it the whole time.
You say it so judgmentally.
No, I did it the whole time. That's fine.
I mean, he could have touched it up a bit, but there's nothing. 19 is acceptable.
It's acceptable.
Anyway, amongst the horror stories is that, for instance, he said, "I don't fancy this 5-day working week. So I'm going to do Monday to Thursday shows only. You can find someone else to do the Friday morning."
Yeah.
And then at a later stage, having fun, obviously, one show, one day, locked the studio doors and said, "We're doing a 24-hour broadcast. Tell all the other presenters they don't need to come in today."
Jesus, really?
No, the dude went off the rails, but in the best way possible. No, there are rules.
Was that when he actually owned the station?
I think it might have been after. I think they might have put some other shareholders in, and eventually they fired him. It all got a bit messy. But like, he just disappeared for days. He'd gone drinking binges and wouldn't come in to do his
awesome.
Show.
Awesome. He's like a rock star.
Yeah, you've got to do that, I think, at some point.
When are you going to start to go off the rails? Nick, you always like Nick Murray, the name that you rely on.
The
You're so reliable, this morning, a responsible people's person. When are you going to lose it?
Yeah,
you got it, Nick.
That's a great question, Seth. I'll file that and look into it.
Nick drinks Jack Daniels if you want to send some supplies.
Where am I drinking Jack Daniels?
No, the first time that me and you had that lunch, do you remember the lunch?
Back when we were 17.
A few years back, we went to Caprice for our first lunch after I mentioned you on the website, and you said, "Hey," you wrote in saying,
thanks
for saying that nice stuff. And I said, "Hey, cool, let's hook up for lunch." And we had lunch, and you ordered a Jack Daniels.
Bang. Nothing wrong with Jack Daniels.
Nothing wrong at all. I was just saying, if people want Nick to go off the rails, send it to the KFM studios. We were talking about...
I'm a Johnny Walker man now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Johnny Walker Black. Red.
Winston Churchill's
Let's
whiskey.
Chat about that. I mean, what is the story? Like red, like slightly cheaper, like so you're buying
Much
into
cheaper.
The brand, but you, I think if but you're not still, happy to spend more.
I think if you're still at that stage where you're ordering, like, I don't know what people put in whiskey, like whiskey and Coke, whiskey and whatever, or Jameson's, you know what I mean? If you're still at that stage, then I think there's nothing, you know, then Johnny Walker Red, if that's your thing, good luck to you.
But it's like knowing that there's a black as well. It's like, J&B is J&B, but it's like Johnny Walker Red, please. Like, I'm working my way up. It's quite
Gold's good. Gold's a goodie.
Well, the top one's blue.
Yeah, I had blue for the first time the other day, and I'll be honest, I was a little...
Where did they put the gold? In between the blue?
I enjoy the word underwhelmed. I was a little underwhelmed.
That is a great word.
Red, and then it goes red, black, gold. Green. Oh, maybe gold.
Oh, there is a green.
There's
Jesus,
a green as well.
It's like a rainbow. Fuck's sake.
My favorite kind of rainbow.
During the break, we were talking about a friend of mine, Johan Doms, who is on the website as one of the 205 characters with Nick, and he's known as the fruit farmer. He's in Robertson, and he does various fruit from plums to apples. And
and if you need any, call him now.
Yeah, and he'll send you in there.
I always feel like Scott doing that, or Isabel Jones.
Yeah.
You know those?
Yeah.
If you need any fruit, call him now. But that's not all.
If you call in the next 10 minutes, you'll get a punnet of plums.
That's a funny word.
A punnet.
I had to read that the other day. A punnet of strawberries.
Where my mother pounded it into it.
I don't
know
why. This
can't
be right. This isn't the right word. A punnet?
It's a punnet. It's amazing. My mother pounded it. I don't know why. I was just pounding
it. The best one-line jokes I've ever heard is, do you know why the Irish currency is called the punt?
Punt.
Well, it doesn't work quite as well if you set it up like that.
Yeah, okay. So it's a rugby joke, yeah.
Because it rhymes with banker. It'll come to you later.
We're going to let that one simmer in one's brain. Well, I just heard a story about the fruit farmer. A friend of mine, Johan Doms, who likes to... you were talking about celebrity friends, and you were saying that you don't have too many.
I have any, except you.
Except me.
And
I
Lewis.
Do have a few. And
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore is not yet to be a friend of mine. It might come, Mike, if you work on it. But Johan Doms has always loved... running into the various celebrity friends that I might have, and he always likes to take the piss. And the one famous story was when he met Monty Percival Montgomery,
and the old sax boy.
And funny enough, I actually went to sax before I
did. You really?
Yeah, first, and from sub-A until standard 5. And so I knew Monty, and most of my celebrity friends happened to be at school with me. I just happened to be there when they were doing...
It was a killer time for you.
Jeez, a killer time. Fleck, Selborne Boom, Herschel Gibbs, Skinstad married my old friend. I mean, Stuart Abbott played with Skinstad. Monty was there as well.
Daniel Vickerman.
Monty was at Saxony. It really
Herschel
was
Gibbs for 7 or 8 years.
Herschel Gibbs, of course.
That's just my trick.
Herschel, 21st in the tuck shop. That's a classic story. That's a joke. But Johan Doms is always...
Only just.
But Johan Doms is always taking special... special what? Special joy.
Interest.
Special
Pleasure.
Interest in them. And he's played nicely with the likes of Bob Skinstad. And the one night he was playing nicely with Monty. Monty had no idea that he was our friend, and he just walked up to Monty. He said to him, can I have your fucking
autograph, signature,
autograph, Wayne. So he said,
Wayne,
he said, hey, can I have your autograph, Wayne? And Monty said, why are you calling me Wayne? And he said, aren't you Wayne Ferreira? He did the classic. He knew exactly who he was, but he thought he'd do the whole blonde hair, sportsman mix-up. I think it's genius.
Do you remember this parade they had when the Springboks came back from the World Cup?
Yes.
And they went down Strand Street.
Yes. Did you not see the video that
I
they
did
sent?
See the video. In fact, I remember sending you a picture and you replying that it wasn't good enough.
Anyway, I was asking John Smith and Bob and you for a photo.
Sure,
and
they were on the bus, obviously.
And you failed, and they sent a
they
video.
They succeeded. Yes, you're very well connected. total. Despite how well organized it seemed from the outside, a total mess behind the scenes.
Tell me why.
Well, because SA Rugby were organizing it. I don't know how.
Oregon Hoskins at your service.
I don't know how these guys get anything together. Anyway, they didn't know which bus the players were going on. So they had three buses.
No.
They had three buses lined
who's,
up.
Who's they?
I guess SA Rugby. I don't know.
They never knew where the players were.
The problem is they let some media on the players' bus, and suddenly the players' girlfriends were there, and then the bus is full. Now they're trying to convince some of the players to get on the second bus in the convoy. And Montgomery is performing. Like, he's unhappy about being split up from the main bus.
And so he should.
Of course, except that...
Highest scorer.
At that very time, his girlfriend or wife, I imagine, had asked him to hold her hand back, which are probably the three most frightening words for any red-blooded male.
Yeah, girlfriend...
Hold my handbag.
Wife, handbag.
And he was holding her handbag.
Tasman. She's a great chick.
While storming up and down Strand Street saying, if somebody doesn't get me on the bus, I'm going home.
And
carrying
Monty,
a handbag.
He did.
He's carrying a handbag.
Oh, my God.
If I don't get on this bus, I'm going home. And
it's a classic.
He's got a fairly high-pitched voice as well.
It's a classic Monty story, but let's not tease him too much because we are very good mates.
You're
but
a sax boy. He's a good guy. And
he's a good
I thought
boy.
He kicked exceptionally at the World Cup this year. Seriously, I mean...
He won. He gives
seven,
a fuck
eight
he...
years ago, the guy couldn't kick anything over the posts, and neither could I.
Well, you know what, Nick? There's a saying that I made up years ago. Practice makes perfect.
Have
you heard it?
You're probably onto something there.
Practice makes perfect. And the question to you from Johan Doms is, Irma G, is she still seeing Marcus Green?
I have no idea who she's dating, and I would feel remiss commenting on the personal lives of my colleagues.
remiss. But the one that we are allowed to comment on is Richard Hardiman, who is just a sucker for abuse.
He's a corker, though.
He really is. This is one of Nick Marais' choices. You were 205. We are running over time, and
Jesus,
it's absolutely
Seth, how
fine.
Long am I having to stay here for?
No one's in charge. It's fine.
Hi, recommend getting your heart trampled on to anyone. Yeah. Hi, recommend walking around naked in your living room.
And you're back at 2 Oceans Vibe Show. Nick Murray from KFM, who is our guest today, went for a little wee during
well,
the break.
Well, I didn't, actually. I mean, I never got there.
Nick stuttered.
I can't believe the detail on this show. You really just lay in there.
Well, we need to talk about it because you are in pain. Nick went for a wee and stubbed his toe on the slight raise that leads into the bathroom.
Why have you got that raise? I mean, this place looks very fancy. You seem to have a lot of money at your disposal. Can you not fix those tiles?
No, well, we've been doing very well. That's why we had a raise.
There's a 1 centimeter difference between the bathroom and the rest of the flat.
Well, Nick, is to keep guys like you on edge.
Well, it certainly did.
Are you going to handle for this next section now that you haven't had a week after that accident?
Well, that problem has completely escaped me. The pain is the issue at the moment.
Is the pain still there?
No.
Although you might not have heard of them, I heard recently apparently Sasha Martinengo and Ian F are no longer. Apparently they.
So I know Ian F.
Are you guys friends?
I don't know him, but I grew up listening to Ian.
Have you met?
I
how does it work when you meet other DJs? Is it like, hi, how are you? Talking all perfectly. I'm fine, thanks. Moving on to the next hit. It's 12:28. How do you talk to each other?
I don't ever meet other...
Have you never met another one?
I met Alex J. He works sort of...
Yeah, well, he'll be cool because he's older. He's about as old as
Richard
Hardiman.
He's even older. He's exactly in real life like he is on the radio. Hey, how are you?
It's a little
intimidating.
Coming to
life. I've never met Ian Ev, but I give him a lot of credit actually for the early days when I was listening to radio. He was one of the pioneers. I think it's a mildly sad that he hasn't sort of moved along. I don't know enough about Sash to make any comment, but I have heard the rumor that they are done. I think they were done a while ago.
How long have they been the team for?
10, 12 years, but then there are people right now saying the same thing about me, so, you know, you never know.
Who are these people? Phone in now if you've got a problem with Nick Marais. If you've got anything to say, send in a text. We know that you probably were on the tubes or in
the
car.
I want to set some sort of record here today. Is this the longest running show, most texted show,
the records we've had?
The youngest average age show? There's got to be something.
I think the most slick show, because I've learned that you can't get too fact on these shows, and I am starting to slur.
You're getting better and better.
I'm slurring my words, and I do miss the odd words, and that comes with beer, and I've certainly had a lot less at the start than I would normally. And it's
don't hold it against Seth, though. If someone were providing your beer free, you would also be drinking a lot.
Yeah, I've got free beer here, guys, from Miller's and also Vita E sell beer. I don't know if you know that, Nick. Have you heard that Vita E sell beer and wine?
Seth doesn't have a shirt on at the moment, so if you run a shirt company, he'd appreciate one of those.
Send it in. Although we are clothed by Ape Town Clothing, and that's one of your gifts, Nick. And
invisible Ape Town clothing.
But let's go back to what we were talking about, which was... So you never met another DJ?
I met Gareth once, briefly, at a function.
He does that morning show somewhere.
In Joburg.
In Joburg.
He does a morning show in Joburg.
How was he?
I don't really know him. I think the way he's handled the press on one or two recent occasions leaves a little to be desired, but There are a very small number of people who, in my head, are kind of at the cutting edge of radio presenting, not being DJs.
Who do you see as being at the cutting edge? I mean,
well, I think there's a group of people who are... There's a large group of people who are DJs, right? People who speak like this and play tracks.
328!
And there are a large number of them. And then I think... And it's all kind of changed, you know, since we've moved from CDs to computers and nobody has to manually load songs up anymore.
CDs that round was a D, Graham J.
Not a CT. It's not
it
actually
wasn't a
called
CT.
A CT.
He wasn't talking about Cape Town. It was a CD, yeah?
And I think a lot of people have moved over from being... Not a lot. Some people have moved over from being radio DJs to being sort of communicators, presenters, people who talk rather than people who play discs. And Gareth is certainly one of those. I remember when he moved over to 702, being shocked and astounded and very loudly and very publicly saying, "Who on earth puts a 25-year-old on a morning show?"
He said that.
No, I said that. Yeah. He was 25 at the time.
And you started when you were
21. Yeah.
That's
but
so
I,
funny.
I haven't heard him in a long time. I think he's probably better suited for afternoons than he is for mornings.
Yeah.
Given that he's kind of... He's got that whole laid-back thing going for him.
Yeah, and that sex talk.
The TV thing confuses me as well. That branching out, like radio guys who branch out into TV. It doesn't really make a lot of sense because TV doesn't...
Unless you're Ryan Seacrest.
Okay, but Ryan Seacrest to me is more a DJ than a radio presenter. Like he's a good-looking guy. He wants to be kind of famous, and TV is a much quicker access to fame.
So, especially in the US.
And here, anywhere, I think. If the guys want to be famous, they see radio as a sort of shortstop to get onto TV.
I've seen Nicole Fox is doing her thing.
I believe she's also not going to be on radio for too much longer, but that's just rumor. Yeah, they all...
It's rumor in the industry, as it were.
Town talk. there are a group of people who...
Really? Is that true? I believe she... Oh, really?
They end up on radio, and then, you know, next thing you know, they're taking all their clothes off in magazines. I'm like, hang on a second, aren't we supposed to be listening to you? I don't know. Are we listening to you because you've got something to say, or are we listening to you because you're hot?
I don't know.
Because if I'm listening to you because you're hot, I feel like I'm missing an important element.
Well, I know that, I mean, there's hot and there's a good rack. Has she got?
I don't know her. I've never met her. I haven't seen her TV show. She's doing like a film review thing on TV.
Yeah.
I've seen the ads for it.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, TV, look, TV's a, if you want to be famous, and there are some people in radio, believe it or not, who have no interest in it. If you want to be famous, TV's probably the way to go. Yeah.
You guys had a thing recently where people could win like a spot to try out to be a DJ, right?
Yes.
How did that go?
It went pretty well. There are a lot of people who really want to be DJs. We also did a tour last year to a couple of schools trying to persuade people to get involved in our Youth Day project. And I keep saying this to kids at school, like, if you're smart, people say to you, there's this idea that you've got to do something smart, like become a doctor, be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of professions like ours, mine, yours, ours.
Yours.
Could do with smart kids.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's a thing that I raise a hell of a lot, right? Is the lack of smart journalists, radio people, news readers, for God's sake. People who can't read the news, but they're in news. And I've always said that the reason is that here they are poorly paid, right? So you get the smart people, for example, in the UK, okay, our friend Johnny Vaughan makes an absolute fortune because it just happens to be like that. If you're a good radio DJ, you're normally smart and you paid a fortune. Whereas here, it's not paid too well, as far as I understand. I know that you drive a Lamborghini, and you are the best. But I mean, generally,
I can't afford the Ferrari, though, Seth.
Generally, though,
the Gallardo is always a little step down, as far as I'm concerned.
Lamborghini Gallardo. Generally, though, am I right in saying journalists are poorly paid?
Journalists, yes. Radio presenters, no.
Look,
you and I imagine, have a very different idea of what poorly and well paid are. But a good radio presenter in this country is certainly earning enough money.
Nick earns at least a bar a year, everybody. It's very interesting, that, because I really feel...
It's not the money.
Let's leave radio and TV, okay? Let's go to journalism, right?
Yeah.
It is shit. They can't write. It takes four people to write an article on a school fete, right? There's something wrong, and it is poorly paid there. So the smart people won't choose that. They'll choose to be a lawyer because
there's money there.
Because they would like to be a journalist because it's...
I know, and I don't know how you fix that. I don't know how.
It's terrible because
that.
It might be like a passion of theirs, but they're too smart.
I spoke to a journalist recently about exactly this issue and was told that there just isn't the market, there just isn't the audience. Because I remember reading articles, and you'll find them online, from newspapers like The Guardian, where the journalists are coincidentally referencing Shakespeare in the third paragraph.
Yeah.
You know, this is how smart the journalists are in the UK.
Yeah. No, they're fucking sharp guys. They've got guys like... guys who are like heads of things. Like, yeah, you know, they also write.
They're really clued up, and the caliber of journalism over there is really high. And so the contention here is that they just don't have the numbers. And if you look at
the
figures,
the money,
the number of people who are buying newspapers in this country is very low
because it's so shit.
Well, chicken and egg.
Exactly.
Who knows? And how do you fix that? And so what happens is you end up with the newspapers who are making the most amounts of money are the ones who are putting ads on polls that use words that you don't want your kids to be seeing.
It's very interesting. I think, I mean, it's just the smart folk who should be in journalism here are not, because it's poorly paid. So instead they take a marketing job where they're paid more and they do well. But
they become one of your PAs and earn $1 million a year.
Yeah, but we've lost them.
PAs? You've lost your PAs?
I need a new
one.
I heard
you kept, shacking up with them.
That was my last PA, not the current one. Gabby, I think everything went very well. Gabby's leaving me. We have a spot for a new PA. Send your CVs in to editor at 2hsvibe.com. This is 9 Inch Nails Closer, which is very sexual. Me.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And we're back within the third hour of the show, Two Oceans Vibe Show.
We're breaking some records here. Is this the third hour?
No, Skinstat went on for 4 hours. We're moving on to 3 hours.
Well, Skinstat speaks slower than we do.
Yeah, and he likes to take the mic for longer than we do. So there were times where I had a nap.
As did some of your listeners.
Sorry, Bob, you can be boring. Where were we, Nick?
I have no idea. You're in control. It's wonderful, finally, to be able to sit here and receive.
How do you handle those sort of moments where there's like a bit of a fluster and no one knows what to do on the air? How do you normally handle that? Never happens.
Not really.
How do you have that? Have you got a guy in charge of continuity?
We got a guy in charge of what we call logs, like checking that the ads go out and that the music's played in the right order. We're guys in charge of interviews, and everybody's doing a little bit here and there, but generally speaking.
How many in your team?
4 in the immediate team. And then
it's you, Mel Jones.
Yeah, we got 2 producers.
Who are they?
Lance, who does
I've heard Lance's
name. He does
name.
Weather on E, yeah, in the evenings. He's the good one on Weather in E. Weather on E. And a guy called Steve, who's just joined the team recently. And then obviously we've got a series of other people to feature on the show. Like, there's actually a guy called Dingo Dave.
Yeah,
who does a bit on the show. You should have him here at some stage. He's a fucking riot.
Which one is he?
He's the Australian. He's like our pet Australian outreach project.
I haven't heard him, but I've heard you
talking about him.
Mock the guy who does the surf report. You two have a good vibe going.
Yeah, a lot of people miss out on that vibe, but
you said somebody wrote in the other day. Because
every now and again, we get an email from somebody who just sort of misses the plot a little.
Because you tease him the whole time.
Exactly. I mean,
and it's all a part of the show.
I don't know if it's going to make too much sense, but he's been there since the year dot. And that's the gig, that I give him a hard time and he gives it back. In fact, he takes more than gives it back, but that's his approach to it. And every now and again, someone emails in and says, you know, you're a bit of an arsehole, stop giving him so much grief. What's your problem?
Why are they so short-sighted? Who are these people?
Some people just miss it. Hey, I mean, you know, I mean, it's like the people who go to see The Usual Suspects and they come out the other side and say, "Yeah, but it didn't really make sense. It didn't all tie up."
That's beautiful. I love that. It's
not everybody gets it, Seth.
No.
You have to remember that.
Well, let's talk about humor levels. There is the humor that we are sort of tired of, sort of like normal classic humor. Not even classic anymore. It's just crap.
Celine Dion walks into a bar.
Yeah, what a long face.
Exactly. Yeah, Paris Hilton walks into a bar and asks for a double entendre.
And I ask her to follow me home.
No, that's not a double entendre.
How does it go?
Paris Hilton walks into a bar and asks for a double entendre, so the bartender gives her one.
And she was very accepting. I love the fact that she is hot, very wealthy, and enjoys a bit of cock. That is what
who
I like.
Who is she seeing at the moment? I know you're in touch with these things.
I think she's single at the moment.
Really? Well, there's hope.
Well,
are you single?
Yes.
You're single and Paris is single. No. Is this a coincidence?
I explain.
I think not, Seth.
No, you obviously missed the show that we had with Johnny Vaughan. Who
I was overseas.
Who walked into my house in Bantry Bay, and there's an 8-foot mounted poster of her, and he understood. It's not because I fucking love her. It's just, he said, you see, Will is deep enough. Sorry. Seth.
Seth. I love that you don't know who you are.
Seth.
All right, so you're so deep that if Paris Hilton walked through the door with a pair of night vision goggles on, you would not be interested.
He said, Seth is deep enough to know that he is shallow. And that is why it's there. It's just a sort of a modern-day pop art go at life right now. It's not like, oh my god, you're in love with Hilton. It's just like, it's just so hysterical. Let's fucking celebrate it anyway.
Excellent.
You guys sound good together, and not in a gay way, from Richard Hardiman.
Well, thanks for that.
He's got such great support. That's why I love Harder so much. He's
We've got six SMSs today, and four of them have been from Hardiman.
Richard Hardiman. I'm amazed. I mean, for a man his age to have that broadband
technology
at work,
savvy.
Yeah, at work and at home, because his show's over now, right?
He's not at work anymore.
His show was from 3 until 6.
But he's one of those trendy guys who lives in town. We should actually, can we get, Seth, I don't know how much longer we're here, but really, a few more SMSs wouldn't hurt.
Let's send in some text messages if you still listening to the show.
Can you not do that whole +27 thing? Because we're all from here and it's a bit confusing for us.
Okay, send a text message to Nick and the show to 076-907-3679. Do you normally say the number twice?
At least twice.
At least twice.
And slowly, so people can write it down.
And here's a second time. Grab your pens. That's not working. Let's grab another one. There we go. 076-907-3679. Let's have some interaction here. We haven't read the number out for a while. We've also run out of songs in a way, Nick. Let's just run through it.
Aren't you on iTunes? Your tunes? You tunes? Me tunes?
My tunes. Closer, Semi-Charm Life. I prefer the sort of... let's put iTunes on random on my machine.
Sounds a little dangerous.
It's quite dangerous.
Could end up listening to that Alec Baldwin voicemail message all over again.
Did you not enjoy that?
No, I did enjoy it, but I think a second time would be pushing it.
Well, then we won't. The last thing we want is Nick to feel that we are pushing it. When last did you guys on the morning show actually push it?
I suppose that depends on your definition of pushing it.
You're starting to use this voice. And if you call in the next... Have you ever changed your voice on the show just for fun?
No, we just talk, okay?
How come when we first
people.
To when we first met and we became mates years ago, it was quite a novelty that you were and that you had your show, and I sent you a text. How about a bit of Elton John, Club at the End of the Street? And you nailed it. Bang.
Did I really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Please don't say things like that in public.
No, I think it was an absolute coincidence that you happened to have it.
It
on
was
the playlist.
On the playlist, obviously.
Yeah. Because I had heard it in the last week on your show, okay. Knowing it was there. How do you normally, I mean, how does it work with songs? You have to play a certain amount of songs?
Not an amount, but certainly a list in a specific order, and there are guys who work on that, and they do research, and they work out. This all sounds very boring for people.
How does it work? Do they pay you to play their songs?
No. In fact, I think through SAMRO, which is the music rights organization, anybody who...
Such a cuck name, SAMRO.
SAMRO.
Such an organization, SAMRO. SAMRO, it's the worst.
If you own a restaurant, you've got to pay them rights to play songs by whoever's CDs you're playing. But you pay like a lump sum, you know, whatever it is, 10 grand a month.
No, they hardly do.
I don't think they do, no.
It's like a TV license. You should.
What's their slogan with the TV licenses? It's the right
thing
to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Well, thanks for that guilt trip, guys.
How does it work?
I'll be rushing down to the store right now. It is the right thing to do. Before I was going to leave it, but since
you
mentioned
it. How does it work with like songs that you play? If you were to choose a song that's not there, right?
Yes, hypothetically.
You would have to pay them a fee,
no,
right?
We pay a lump sum, right, to these guys, SAMRO. So I don't know what it is. I have no idea what
and
it is.
And you can just use any of their songs?
Yeah, well, we pay a lump
sum. Have they got every single song there?
Any song in the world. It's not that they don't have the songs. We just send them a list at the end of the month, and they go, okay, you played 17 Elton John songs, so he gets X percent of your monthly fee. I don't know that Elton John is really... I don't know how much money he's getting from SAMRO.
So how much... If I were to pay for these songs that we've been playing randomly...
Yes, which obviously you aren't.
How much...
Given that you aren't even paying for your TV license.
How much would I be paying, which if you need to send me a bill, I will pay. How much... Oh, we got a text message.
That's exciting. That's from Candace in Mozambique. Candace, I love you. I love you, Candace.
No, let's just see who it's from.
Let's have a shout out for Candace.
I'm still here in Prague. It's our friend in Prague. Where are my lottery tickets?
Can I just say, I listened to this last week, and the two or three SMSs sounded a little desperate. Now I suddenly realize I'm in the thick of it.
He says, swear to God, you'll both be VIP list for life on
in
the
Prague.
Jet if I win from your prize. Yeah, we've been through that, Prague boy.
You got to give it to Prague. Prague sent, that's the third SMS from Prague.
Hats off to Prague.
He's got three of the top 12.
How much...
I have no idea what the samurai rates are.
How much would I be paying per song?
I have. It's not that. It's a monthly fee, and I think it depends. I think.
How many songs do you play in a year? In a month?
On our show.
Yeah.
On our show, we play about 7 songs an hour, so maybe 20 songs a morning, and they're 21 days in a month, so maybe 420.
In the morning. In the morning only.
In the morning, yeah, yeah. But you pay a set fee to these guys, Samro, and I think it's a percentage of how much money you're making. So the more money you make, the more you have to pay. So the SABC stations, for example, wouldn't have to pay very much at all. But it is all relative.
Or they should just start a station like this where you pay absolutely fuck all. And I'm more than happy for the likes of Nine Inch Nails to send me a bill for R5. I can't see it being more than R5 a song, Nick.
Well, you aren't making any money.
No.
No, not here, not doing this. I mean, I'm sure you're making a fucking fortune the rest of the time.
Well, we've got the sponsors. There's a beer that we're drinking from Vita E, the beer that you can buy after you've drunk the coffee. Always there. Nick and I are on our second champagne bottle of beer at the moment. Sorry,
Why
Nick.
Why are they putting beer in champagne bottles now?
I think it looks great. Don't you like it?
It looks very sort of trendy. It looks like you're actually drinking champagne.
What do you think of this new beer?
You're a big champagne fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I enjoy it. What do you think
you
of this
new one? You
can
never have enough champagne.
Never.
Never.
And that's champagne from the region, friends.
Well, yes, the that's actual sparkling. Stuff.
Yeah.
French champagne.
Yeah.
Which in France is just called champagne.
Exactly. I worked at Blue's restaurant in the year 2000.
When it was still cool.
Yeah, 1998, 1999, 2000. And there was a waiter there. His name was Clint. And he was very formal. And he was a pom. And he used to arrive at tables like this. Good evening. By way of introduction, my name is Clint.
I shall be your waiter.
Yeah, he was so, like, he knew everything about all the wines and the whole toot.
I could tell you loved him.
And yeah, it was awesome.
Clint, did you steal his tips?
No, but we used to join the L and the I of his name on
yes.
the roster.
Wow.
Clint turns into cunt. That was a little bit too harsh with Nick Reicher, the family program guy. Clint was with me at the bar, and I was waiting for some sparkling wine. It was myself and VC. Who
sparkling wine, the cheap stuff.
Yeah. And I was with VC. VC is on the website as the photographer, and VC didn't know his wines and stuff. And he said to Clint, as he received a bottle of JC LeCuc, he said to Clint...
Obviously not a sponsor of this show.
No.
JC LeCuc.
And he said, Clint, what's this champagne like? And Clint said, well, that's sparkling wine, not champagne. And you can always tell the quality of the sparkling wine and or champagne by the size of the bubbles in the champagne, which is called the mousse. Okay? But that is the name of the bubbles. That is the mousse. Like what is the mousse like? Like, it's a good mousse or a bad mousse. And he said...
Like head in a beer.
Yeah. And he said, you can always tell the quality of the champagne by the size of the bubbles, which is known as the mousse. And he said, for example, Veuve Clicquot has got tiny bubbles. But then if you move over to J.C. Le Roux, it's got the bubbles the size, and I quote, of houseboats. Which I thought was terribly funny. And that's all I have to say about that. Are you a big champagne
drinker? I just spent some time in France now. I've moved over to Verve recently. It's good stuff. You and there are not too many things I'll give you credit for, Seth, but I do remember you you ordering champagne at a party somewhere once, and I was very impressed.
Where was that?
What's a place in Clue Street called? You had a party. In fact, it was so big I couldn't get in, I remember. You made me wait outside for a while.
Where was it?
You got Clue Neck Relish. Road.
Relish at Relish.
Very, very good.
That
Except
was a
that
good
means
party.
Nothing to anybody.
Means,
but
I don't know why I called it that. That is bizarre.
Weird.
But still, the owner still tells friends of mine, and the last report was within the last 6 months, and I think that party was about 2 years ago.
At least, I would say more than that. I was kept outside. They would not let me. Fortunately, I speak French, which is the international bodyguard bouncer language.
And that failed you.
And eventually they let me in, and you were just serving champagne, I remember.
It was chaos. And the key thing there was, talking about champagne, it's absolutely lost me. I don't know what the fuck I was talking about. Help me, Nick.
I can't. Maybe your time is up. Maybe that 5:30 curfew is here.
Nah, I think it's more about the Verve at the moment.
You had invited that chick who was stipping Harry. What's her name? Chelsea Davies.
Chelsea Davies, she was there, I think.
And I know you're a big fan, so of her.
Right, she's a good friend of mine, yeah.
So, I mean, I'll watch my words. But I remember at some point you handing me a bottle of champagne and saying, I've got to go do the rounds, chat to Chelsea. And it lasted sort of 12 seconds. We didn't have very much to talk about.
Well, there was a funny moment when I was saying to my friends, like I got a good vibe from Chelsea. Do you think I should take her out to lunch? And I sent her a couple of texts, and she was like, yeah, I'm keen. And I said to my mates, should I go through with this? Will I look like an idiot? Blah, blah, blah. And they said to me, well, let's just wait and see what happens. The next day...
See who she picks up next.
No. Next day, Sky News, Chelsea arriving at fucking Heathrow, people snapping photos like a million fucking photographers going to visit her beau.
Hang on. So she, at the time that she is dating Prince Harry, she is sending text messages to you saying, lunch sounds good, I'm keen.
It's probably in a very friendly manner, Nick.
Really?
I don't think there's any need to read
into
that.
And now they're not together anymore. Is it your fault?
I haven't.
Did you break up the potential marriage of the third in line to the throne of England?
I have not spoken to Chelsea for a long time.
You don't text her anymore? I hear she's very lonely. I got a phone call from radio people in Leeds the other day saying she's very, very bored. And she's single. You should text her. Text her now.
This is getting out of control, especially since I'm trying to play the song and it's not playing. I'm trying
text
to get out of this.
Give me a phone. I'll text her.
Nick is carrying on yet. I'm trying to get out of this with the song, and the song's not starting. I don't know what's wrong with this.
It wants you to text Chelsea. This is not the kind of opportunity that comes around every day.
Seriously, this fucking thing. This is when the show all falls apart, when we all...
The fact that you have her number in your phone, Seth, means that you should feel obliged. You could drown me out with music if you want. But we all know that you should feel obliged to text her. You have her number. She is lonely and single and very bored.
I don't have her number.
And she said she wanted to do lunch. And we all know the emphasis was on do and not lunch.
I think that you are totally out of control right now. And because of that, I've no option but to play I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany. Which is how I feel after that. I'm having a quiet sweat here, Nick. Why did you do that? You really went for it. I'm going to scold you.
I owe you for the website.
I'm going to scold you for the website, the Monopoly thing.
No, the
just inline. Having the website. I'll catch you after this. It's running on way too late. 6:37. Catch you after this.
Friends. I'm not afraid to
breast augmentation is what we're going to talk about next on the Two Oceans Vibe Show with Nick Murray from KFM. Nick, breast augmentation. What does augmentation mean?
Building up, buffering up.
Buffering up. Enlarging. The reason I asked is I heard that you were... Well, I did hear you talking about it on your show.
It's the fancy word for boob job, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were saying on your show, because I heard you going...
We were actually talking about... scientists have... I'm trying to remember the exact story, but scientists have now discovered a new means of lip augmentation using... And I'm sorry to have to talk about this in polite public company, but using pig intestines... This is people now going for lip augmentation, and they're putting pig intestines inside people's lips to buffer them up so they look like Angelina.
Why do they use a pig?
I don't know. They've obviously discovered.
If you're using their hearts, you might as well use their intestines.
How is it, though, that we've reached a point where somebody's looking in the mirror going, you know what I need is a bigger lip? Just because, I don't know, are my lips okay?
I'm fine with your lips.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm not happy with mine. I have a very small mouth.
Do you? So you think your lips could be kind of augmented?
Fuller. No, I'm fine with mine because I'm a guy. It's
anyway,
fine.
It ended up being a discussion like about boob jobs, and a lot of women phoned in to say that that they've had theirs done and they're very happy with them.
I know loads of chicks.
You've had them done?
Loads.
And very young now as well. Apparently in America, this has become a common graduation present.
Nick, it is so common amongst youngsters. My PA, who's leaving me...
Not the one that you had a thing with.
No, that was the last one. That was ages ago. And to the girls applying for the new job, that is certainly not a trend. But
sorry, you don't want chicks with boob jobs applying for the new PA job?
No, I just don't want to act with them in a very close fashion.
It's not necessary that you are prepared to have a thing with Seth.
No, it's just not
conducive not ideal
to work or ideal.
Have you learned this lesson?
Yeah, a friend of mine.
Did you learn it the hard way?
I certainly did. Thank you, Nick. Let's not go on about that. You are really going for it. But a friend of the PA, in fact, two or three friends of his, 22-year-old girls, have had them done. It's completely normal now.
There's no scum. They walk around going, these are fake.
I know.
What do you think of them?
It's very normal now.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm a short guy. And if I could just walk into a plastic surgeon's office... and be a couple of inches taller tomorrow, I'd probably take him up on it.
No, I think it's very hard for us to talk about it because it's hard to know how it feels for a girl, etc. Because boobs are a lot to do with the girl's vibe. Like, you know, your boobs, a female who tries to attract the male.
I love how you say it's hard for us to talk about it, but you're going to anyway.
Yeah. But it's like a girl thing. Like, you know, there are boobs. Everyone knows that guys do... ogle boobs and mine are flat and I'd like to be more of a feature. Let's have them done.
What size would you like?
34 B's are perfectly fine.
B's?
B's are fine.
You don't want C's?
Well, C's are nice. If they're there, I'm happy with A's.
I mean,
Nick,
if you were going to pay for the operation and someone said, what size? I don't even know how it works.
No,
you
B's.
Just imagine this. Do you think they do it like from a catalogue?
Definitely.
Really? So you definitely. Go and you go, I'd like to look like Angelina.
No, they will have a screen with your... photo.
Do you get to choose what shape you want?
Yeah, they will show you with the boobs and they'll make them larger. Where do you want them?
It's pretty fucking exciting.
It's pretty exciting and very advanced.
I'd like to be there, like an advisor, you know?
Everyone would like to
not
be
as
there.
An expert plastic surgeon. You just sit there on the side and you go, I think those look good on you.
I think so. I mean, I got loads of time for A's, B's, C's, and D's.
You're not fussy.
I'm not, but it's just nice to have something there, but...
Somebody phoned in and said she was a double A before. How do you feel about the double A?
If it's an A, that's a double. Does it make it smaller?
Smaller, yeah.
Oh, really?
That's like on the training bra end.
Well, you see,
I don't know what the training is for. I've never understood the training bra, to be honest.
I love the training bra.
not the sort of thing you should be saying.
Thank you. As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And it's another week of the Two Oceans Vibe Show coming to you live from the Atlantic Seaboard. It's 3:35. Thanks for joining us back in the studio another week. And it just seems to be outlandish weather every Thursday. My shirt's off. Nick is about to come off. We've got Nick Marais, the DJ, on the show. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you, Seth. It is Seth, right? I heard the Fruit Loop last week was calling you Will all the time.
Yeah, well, that's a nickname that my friends give me. It's actually my third name. It's,
you don't want another name for today. I could call you anything if you want. Just tell me. What do you want to go with?
Nick, just call me.
Harry.
Just as long as you call me.
Roger.
Nick Marais is obviously the morning show host of KFM radio station, Cape Town's number one and biggest breakfast show and station. Is it the breakfast show that's the biggest or the whole station?
It's both of them. They're both ginormous.
Nice.
They're both by far the biggest.
So you obviously used to like a pretty professional studio. Would you say that yours?
I am shockingly disappointed, Seth. I was expecting something very amateurish here, and the picture has to be painted. This man has three computers and a mixing desk.
Well, I was about to ask you, do you think it looks a lot like yours?
It has as many computers as ours does, certainly.
Nice. Do you have a mixer like this?
We have one that's much bigger, but I don't know what the other 18 channels do.
Pretty much the same vibe.
Yeah, it's the microphones and the music. And then a whole bunch of spares.
Nick was running a little bit late. It's been a little bit rushed out.
I thought there was going to be a helicopter. Your secretary said to me there'd be a helicopter to fetch me.
Yeah, but the story with the helicopter is we were using the Huey, and as you know, it's not too reliable, and we had to make sure that you were on the show.
The Huey's been grounded as well?
I haven't seen it for a while.
Not flying the Huey anymore, no.
Oh, really? Finally?
I don't know what the story is.
Fucking Huey. It's a great thing for the people who live on the Atlantic seaboard to moan about. That fucking Huey.
You guys have helicopters here all the time, which is why I just assumed that's how I'd be getting here. So when you phoned me at 3:20 and you said, where are you?
Yeah. Well, Nick was running very late, and at the very end, we only had 2 minutes to spare. We started to talk about timing. Nick, you being a radio DJ, you must be told about timing the whole time. We've got 2 minutes left. We've got a minute left.
How much? 90 seconds to go.
What do you know you can do within 90 seconds?
Mine's the other way around. I know how much I can say in 90 seconds. So it's not so much you've got 90 seconds, good, I can get outside and have a smoke. Not that I do.
But what about if you need to go to the loo and stuff? How much time do you know that you need?
I know the 3 minute song is plenty. And I don't generally need to go to the loo twice in a row.
Nick doesn't wee. Nick, welcome to the show. This is one of Nick's choices on his song list. It's Roxette, The Look. We'll catch you soon. It's 3:37. It's 30 degrees again.
I go la 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 la.
And we're back live with Nick Murray. Welcome back to the studio, Nick.
Thanks. I'm like I've gone somewhere. Here I am.
Good heavens.
I
want to leave a message for you right now. That's for later.
The setup is professional, at least. It looks good.
Sometimes there are some hiccups. How do you, like, let me just inform everyone that before the show, the guest sends me a list of songs. Nick has sent me his list, and then I have to write down the timings of the start of the song, how long it takes until the singing starts. I have to do all of that. Nick, how do you know these things? Do you get them written down before the show, or do you have a little voice in your ear?
Were you told this by a DJ? Is that where this comes from? This is right down the...
This was Johnny Vaughan.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the industry, it's called the intro clock.
The intro clock. That's the exact term he used, and I need to remember it now that I'm in the industry.
The intro... Well, yes, of course you are.
So how does it work? Are you told over the headphones? Is there a voice that talks to you?
It's not regularly. I find it very difficult to talk and be spoken to at the same time. My head just explodes.
Okay.
Every now and again, they forget and they try, and it's just too much for me to handle.
Because you're not a chick. How do you know how long it'll take for the song to get going? Is it on the screen in front of you?
Yeah, it's on the screen. Yeah, we've got a computer screen that tells us, and it also counts down to the end of the song, which sounds a little silly, but it does.
Well, I've got that. It's called iTunes. Nick has a list of songs here. I managed to get all of his songs except Amy Winehouse's song, Amy.
Oh, you bugger. Well, that's Seth. Sorry. Look, I've now adopted this. Harry. Harry is what we're going for today, right?
Harry?
Harry, you.
Iconic genius.
You're Harry.
Call me Harry. That's much easier.
I needed a new name. Amy.
You upset that I never had that song?
I am a little upset. You know the thing with Amy Winehouse, right? She's now become this useless, trampy crack whore, right? I mean, that's what she
is. Just about to die, yeah.
That's where she is at the moment. Yeah. And the sad thing to me is that she had this amazing album like 4 years ago, which no one knows about.
And she's called?
Frank.
Okay.
And awesome smoky jazzy tunes.
Nice.
And very, very cool. And
I love her voice. Actually, it's very needed right now, and it's very sad that it might end now, because it was exactly what we needed.
3 o'clock in the morning, jazz club, smoky vibe. And in fact, in one of those songs on Frank, there's a whole bit with a voice of saying, "Go home now, go. The night is over. Yeah. We're finished. Get out of here."
Yeah. Don't you think that we need that here? Cape Town needs like a whiskey bar where there's a chick in like a long red dress just singing beautiful songs with like a piano guy. Like
they tried with that place on Long Street, hey? They never catch on.
Kennedy's.
Yeah, Kennedy's.
Did that? Well, they had a guy on the piano upstairs and some very overweight chick, which does suit it actually. But they were more like funny, laughable songs almost. Not this. Not that whole like sexy.
Yeah, you need it. You're right.
I'm seeing the scene with Bill Murray in Lost in Translation.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. With big,
so now,
with big
do yourself
red
lips. A favor and get this album, Frank.
Amy
Frank, and I know it's expensive, and it's like $8.99 on YouTunes or whatever you
YouTunes, my tunes, anyone else
you're shopping on. But she's been such a disappointment over the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what your views are on this, but the first album is seriously impressive.
Yeah, look, it's very sad because the Palms have been needing someone like her, and unfortunately, the one that came along absolutely fucked it up. But let's just talk a little bit more about you and KFM. How long have you been the morning DJ there for, Nick?
6 years. Well, Seth, Harry.
Harry, 6 years.
6 years, this week, actually.
No, me and you have been friends for a while now, nearly as long, and although we went to school together, we never really hung out, as it were, or hanged out.
You were a lot older than me, I think.
Yeah, I was,
Few years ahead.
Yeah. We never really used to hang out or hanged out if I had killed you. Everyone hung. When you kill someone, is hanged. He hanged himself. A lot of people getting that wrong still. I thought the world would know that one by now.
Today's grammar lesson brought to you by Seth.
No, speaking of which, I've actually got a question from someone for you with regards to the English language. Nick,
as the official keeper of the English language, I'd be only too pleased to answer it.
Nick, how old were you when you started off?
On Breakfast, 21.
And is it true that they used to hide your age?
I used to hide my age.
Oh, really?
Because it's so funny. Hardiman's having this. You keep talking about him. He's having this whole thing at the moment where he keeps telling people, "I'm not as old as you think I am."
Richard Hardiman is actually the Drive Show host. He used to be Hardiman the Party Man. He's a little bit older now.
He's a lot older now.
He's so old right now.
And people keep saying to him, "You're not as old as I imagined you were." And it's giving him a little midlife crisis.
And you get told that you aren't as young as I thought you were.
Well, certainly at the beginning, my issue was trying to not sound 21 on the radio. Yeah.
So you're talking about things like politics and heavy stuff.
Exactly. You know? Now that I'm older, I talk about younger things. Yeah. It's all a bit twisted.
It's so twisted. KFM used to be called Radio Contre, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It used to be a transmitter split from another radio station in town called Good Hope. I don't think exists anymore. But back then, the pair of them used to share transmitters. And now it's obviously a lot cooler and a lot bigger.
And when they ask you what the K stands for, do you say Contre? Because now it's just a letter.
Yeah, that's the official line.
It stands for nothing.
Well, I mean, that's where it comes from. That's the history. But the radio station's obviously changed so much since then that, as far as we're concerned, it doesn't
matter. Were you there in the days when it used to be called that?
No.
The one nice thing that I like about KFM, which is my radio station of choice, mainly in the morning. But the nice thing about it is you can drive to Hermanus, you can drive to wherever, and it's always
not Camps Bay.
Not Camps Bay. It's fucking annoying. I can't listen to you. I listened to you, as you know, because I sent you a text during your show yesterday. I had to listen on my laptop. It's fucking annoying.
Not Camps Bay and not Stellenbosch and not Hout Bay, but I don't know if they've got the radio there yet.
But they've got the Boland covered.
The reason for that, people ask about this all the time. It's kind of interesting. There are a bunch of transmitters in Cape Town, and we're only allowed to use one of them. And
why is that?
Good question, Seth. Good question. It's all part of our licensing conditions. And the official line, if you're interested, that's product placement, Cape Town. The official line.
Similar to beer, right?
I really say Cape Town because you're broadcasting to the entire universe, right?
Well, exactly. We had a call in the other day from Turkey, Belgium, Scotland.
So I'll just say Earth.
Yeah.
The reason is because they're worried about the community stations folding, but the SABC stations managed to broadcast government's official line from all of the transmitters. I don't get it either.
Do they have to pay for it?
I guess we do pay, but it's probably not. I don't think it's much.
But the government surely don't have to pay.
Well, who pays for the SABC? You do, right? You pay your TV licenses.
Well, yes, Nick, of course I pay my TV licenses. What are you talking about? Why would I not?
That's a very big TV you have.
What a big TV you have there. Do you pay more for the size of your
It's not the size that counts.
Yeah, imagine if you have a screen the size of a building that you can broadcast on the side of a building, and would you have to pay a higher license fee for your TV license?
If hypothetically you were paying it.
Yeah.
We're both in so much trouble now.
Oh, we are in so much shit. Nick's not allowed to swear as much as I am, I don't think. How do you feel in terms of like what you aren't really allowed to say on air normally and now? Do you feel bound by the same rules? Do you feel scared of saying fuck?
Yeah, I won't say fuck on the radio.
No. But maybe on the internet.
Only on the internet. Only when I'm broadcasting to Earth.
Mother Earth,
that's kind of a... That's kind of a courtesy thing, I guess. Seth, we just developed a space. I don't want to sound twee now, but we developed a space for people listening.
Sound what?
Twee.
Nice, Nick. Fucking twee. Yeah?
But people are listening in the car, and they've got the kids, and they're on their way, you know, to school to drop the kids off. And so we're trying to be reasonably responsible.
Well, that sort of makes us think about those signboards for those local tabloids who use words in the signboards like blowjob and puss and stuff like that. Not ideal for the kids in the car.
Not really ideal for the kids. It's not the education that their parents were expecting.
Why do they do that? And just lastly, in terms of you being the breakfast show host on...
I mean, lastly, are we finished already?
Lastly, before this next song, I was chatting to your colleague, Richard Hardiman.
Uncle Rich,
who is old Uncle Rich, old Yeller. Any jokes? Rich, has he got any grey hairs yet?
No, you know, I actually only say that because he's hot, obviously.
Yeah.
He's like
he's very good looking.
Cosmo model.
He's got a calendar going.
He's got a calendar. And I said to them, if you hire another hot person, that's it. I'm fucking out of here because I can't take it anymore.
Richard taking over the glory, which lends itself to the next thing, which is he tells me, which I've heard before, anywhere you go in the world, if you go to radio stations, the breakfast show guy is basically the king of the castle. And Hardiman talks about, you know, Nick is obviously the king there because he's a breakfast show host. Do you find KFM like a kingdom for you? Do you feel like the king there?
Do you
think
this
is true?
How do you answer this question without seeming like an asshole? Seriously.
Well, you could be modest and humble.
Well,
I don't know what he's talking about. No, we all get along well.
We do all get along well, but the gist is that the breakfast show is supposed to be the one that sets the tone for the station. So, you know,
so you are fairly important.
Not me, but there's a team of people.
But do you get paid more than Richard Hardiman? Obviously.
I imagine it's about the
listeners.
He gets more chicks, though, so it all evens out in the end.
Careful, isn't he married now?
He is, and he's expecting as well.
He is sort of married.
Yeah.
Richard Hardiman.
I don't know what his agreement is. I'm sure he's very well behaved and madly in love with his wife, but.
But
he's still, you know, if he were hypothetically in the game, get more chicks. That's all I meant. It was hypothetical.
Well, he's a good-looking boy. I'm just going to play this song. It's not really right for now, but I've been playing this all day long. I've been doing the window half down in the range, driving along at the Camp Space trip this morning, which is fun. But then I also go... I've just had a text from Richard Hardiman saying, fuck off the both of you. love... Opie Hardiman. Nice, Rich. Shouldn't he be working right now?
He probably should, but you know what radio DJs are like?
Yeah, very relaxed. And I've been playing this song, especially when I'm driving past building sites in Camps Bay, and I tell you, the builders go absolutely ballistic. This is
Mariah. That's an endorsement. The builders love it.
I know. If the builders love it, I love it. It must be R&B. It's Mariah Carey with We Belong Together. It is awesome. You know.
I didn't mean it when I said I didn't love you so. I should have held on tight, I never should have let you go. I didn't know nothing, I was stupid, I was foolish, I was lying to myself. I couldn't have fathomed I would ever be without your love. Never imagined I'd be sitting here beside myself. Cause I didn't know you, cause I didn't know me, but I thought I knew everything. I never attention, kiss your lips, cause I don't have a choice. Oh, what I wouldn't get to have you lying by my side. On the radio, sing to me.
You could think you're lonely now.
Wait a minute, this is too deep, too deep. I gotta change the station, so I turn the dial, trying to catch a break. And then I hear baby face. I only think of you, and it's breaking my heart. I'm trying to keep it together, but I'm falling apart. I'm feeling all out of my element, throwing things by, trying to figure out where the hell I went.
Take your place, there ain't nobody.